If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I would tell you that I pooped in my own dog dish.
This is the Quality News Network. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid are sending a letter to President Bush criticizing his impending decision to send more troops to Iraq and urging him instead to consider a phased redeployment strategy. A Republican lawmaker says half of the major terrorists the U.S. government are looking for have already been caught and released. Representative Heather Wilson from New Mexico says al-Qaeda is working with the U.S. government and that at least one senior official has pictures of the terrorists after they were captured the first time. President Bush is preparing to announce a change in Iraq war strategy. He's made changes to important positions in his administration, is replacing the top two generals and ambassador in Iraq, and today is meeting with key lawmakers. In Washington, President Bush today nominated John Negroponte to be second in command at the State Department. He also nominated retired Admiral Mike McConnell to replace Negroponte as intelligence director. Congress must confirm both men. In Washington, the House today adopted legislation prohibiting lawmakers from accepting meals and gifts from lobbyists or flying on corporate jets. The bill passed 430-1. The House seems to have bipartisan support for a ruling that requires legislators to put their names on funding projects they insert into spending bills. The new rule is designed to prevent the kind of pork barrel scandals that have recently plagued Congress. Another storm is on its way to the Plains states. Officials say it may hamper search and rescue efforts for people and livestock trapped in heavy snow. Colorado's governor has asked for federal assistance to continue dropping food and water to livestock. In Alabama, Georgia, and Louisiana, severe storm warnings continue today. Yesterday, two people were killed when a tornado hit their trailer park in Louisiana. In news around the world, in Baghdad, a prominent Sunni Arab group, the Association of Muslim Scholars, accused officials in the Shiite-led government of having links to Shiite militias, which are involved with sectarian violence. Also in Iraq, a U.S. soldier was killed yesterday in a gun battle in western Baghdad. His death brings the total of U.S. forces killed in Iraq to 3,006. In Indonesia, officials say the pilot of the 737 passenger jet that disappeared this week was forced twice to change his course due to heavy winds. U.S. and Singapore military planes have joined the search. North Korea appears to be getting ready to conduct another nuclear test, but the U.S. warns there will be, quote, severe consequences if they do it. Six-party talks to convince them to abandon their nuclear weaponry program were unsuccessful. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Hulhauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their business banking. Here's a guy who not only banks at the bank, he helped build the bank building.
Yes, sir.
Do you find the fact that it's a local bank appealing?
Yes, that's just it. It was the local people in the community that originally started the bank, and that's why I got involved.
It's a local bank with big bank benefits. It's part of a network of banks. Does that mean anything to you?
Absolutely. Having a bank that can handle a big project really helps because some banks aren't tailored to handle big business, and they can handle the big business for sure. They have no limitations to what they can do for your business.
I do my business banking and my personal banking with them.
Both.
Absolutely.
You're double dipping.
You bet.
Above and Beyond Banking from the network of preferred community banks. Available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
In Rhode Island, several schools have been shut down following a mysterious outbreak of encephalitis and meningitis. Several elementary school children have been infected and one has died. The FDA today approved a drug to help dogs that are obese manage their weight. It is estimated that 5% of U.S. dogs are 20% above their ideal weight. The drug, manufactured by Pfizer, is said to have unpleasant side effects, and that's all I'm saying. Federal government health officials warn that young women are experiencing a drop in folate in their blood levels. This development could could cause increased birth defects, and it may be attributed to the popularity of low-carb diets, which are low on the B vitamin. In December, consumer electronics retailers Best Buy and Circuit City reported strong sales. Flat panel televisions, digital cameras, and notebook computers were popular. According to Money Magazine, the best jobs in the U.S. are software engineer, college professor, financial advisor, human resource manager, and physician's assistant. The occupations were ranked based on average salary, 10-year job growth, and average annual job openings. Today, Taiwan launched its $15 billion high-speed rail system. The 12-car train is designed to be an energy-efficient, environmentally sensitive transport for Taiwan's 23 million customers. Light sweet crude is trading at $56.31 a barrel. At the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones was down 83 points, the Nasdaq was down 19 points, and the S&P 500 was down 9 points. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Christine Kendall.
Okay! Don't you!
Stop America!
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. We've made it to Friday. Of course, no show last Monday, no show last night. Not much of an accomplishment. But these things are necessary. Agnes is, you know, she's behind the board. So last night's adventure of, you know, she's like one of those NFL linemen that gets all dehydrated early in the season, and you know, they cramp up and they're back on the sidelines, and you see them laying there, getting that arm full of IV fluids, and then they're up and they're going. Well, that's kind of what happened last night. Agnes has had some sort of god awful bug, and well, don't apologize, dear. So it turns out that she calls the doctor's office where you know, down here, and they said, look, just go on over. We'll call them and tell them to put a bag of IV fluids in you. You'll be back in the lineup in no time. But this is an ugly little bug that's going around here, and of course, you know, we're ground zero for every bug that comes along. Because after all, our children are in the public school system. That's right, they were back in school for all of 3 days and something came home. You know, you hear the first sweet little voice, hi Mom, hi Dad. Then you hear the second sweet little voice, hi Mom, hi Dad. And you hear the third sweet little voice that's trying to get all manly. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. And then the fourth thing comes in the door behind. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. And just jumps all over us. So that's, you know, that's been life for the last 24 hours or so. And I sincerely apologize, because it, you know, next week my goal, you know what my goal is next week? 5 shows. I know it doesn't seem like much, but lately, but with everything that's been going on, it's a worthy goal. Sometimes, well, I won't even say it, but you know, I haven't been completely unplugged from the world for the last 24 or so hours. I've been a little, shall we say, distracted. I did catch the video of Nancy Pelosi being sworn in. And I've read some commentary from various and sundry Democrats, Democratic strategists, and Democratic leaders out there. And there's a lot of optimism. Just a whole lot of optimism, isn't there, for what this Congress can be. Now, that is not to say, of course, that it's guaranteed that it will be. Because it... It has to be borne in mind that throughout all of this, the Republican Party is not, repeat, is not going away. Not by any stretch of the imagination. We've seen that we've seen that in so many different places. We've seen that in who's the sick, bigoted, prejudiced, racist, right-wing congressman from Virginia? Virgil Goode, who made such a monstrous stink out of whether or not Keith Ellison was photographed with a copy of the Quran directly from Thomas Jefferson's personal collection. They're not going away. And of course, there were great, big, humongous alligator tears in the House today. I watched for a little bit as the new rules amendments were presented, and they got up and they cried because they weren't allowed to try to amend and destroy the ethical process. They won't let us over these amendments. We were never like this to them when we were in the majority. We just told them to shut up. We just slapped them around a little bit. And now they won't let us undermine efforts to clean up Congress. Oh, God. You know, I despise them. And the whole thing was led by, oh, what is that freak's name? Dreyer from California, sitting there lecturing the new Democratic Party members of Congress on ethics. Isn't that a little bit like a hooker lecturing a virgin on love? That kind of is, isn't it? But that, you know, that's where we are today. And of course, there's a downright Soviet style purge taking place in the Bush administration. Have you been reading John Negroponte, the man who is followed whither he goeth up and down the earth by nothing but horror and misery and death? Why, he's leaving his seat as Director of National Security. You know, the really top dog super spy. And he's going to become an Assistant Secretary of State. Now, I had an email from our buddy Roy in Texas in the last day or so remarking on this. And he said, and I won't take the bet, he said, what do you want to bet that John Negroponte is going over there to be the second in command at State? Because here in a month or so, or 2 months, or three, or four, or six, Dick Cheney is going to feel the sudden urge to spend more time with his darling new grandbaby. And that he'll have to resign from the vice presidency, at which point Condoleezza Rice will become vice president. And here's the really, really sick and icky part of it all. John Negroponte. John Negroponte, who sat in an office in Central America and waved his hand, and thousands died during the Reagan administration. John Negroponte, a manifestation of evil going up and down the earth, just as the book of Job describes the activities of Lucifer. John Negroponte becomes Secretary of State. That's a real puker, isn't it? So, no, Roy, I won't take your bet because it looks a lot more like prophecy than it does a wager. Oh, it's all coming unglued. Abizaid and Casey are apparently on their way out at the Pentagon. They were one of them at least was supposed to continue to serve until June, but he came along and said, "Mr. President, you can call it a surge, you can call it cabbage." Now I'm putting words in his mouth. But no, it is true that none of these top commanders want to be associated with this reckless, foolhardy, bloodthirsty, ignorant, stupid, moronic, uninformed, unintelligent, unenlightened troop escalation. And so it looks like they will be getting early retirement packages. Which I suppose is better than what you got, you know, maybe in the Roman Empire if you disagreed. You know, you didn't really get the early retirement package. You got the early discorporation package. It's time for your bath. Here's your sword. But now, some Navy admiral whose name doesn't come immediately to mind will be in charge of CENTCOM, NINCOMPOOP, I don't know, whatever the military acronym is for it. And he, you know, and apparently this person is going to get the position purely because he's one of these people who has, I think a surge would be just fine. That tells you a little something that they had to go all the way to the United States Navy to find somebody who agreed with the idea of putting more ground troops into Iraq. A nearly but not quite entirely landlocked nation. Oh, lordy, 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 there is so much work for this Congress to do. Did you catch my senator last night, Jay Rockefeller, on the Keith Olbermann's countdown program? I got to admit, it was tough on me watching Senator Rockefeller because I was sitting there. He looks, you know, he's a genial man. He's a nice man. He's had some tough times in his life recently, and I kept thinking. I kept sitting there watching him, going, you know, you voted to gut habeas corpus, and we're sitting here talking about the president signing statements. He didn't need a signing statement for that bill, Jay. You made it easy. So now Jay Rockefeller is, however, in charge of the Intelligence Committee in the Senate and vows that there will be more oversight of what goes on in the way of spying on the rest of us. And all we can do is take him at his word. That's it. So, you know, good luck with all that. But, you know, more, again, where does the work begin? How much work is there to be done in these first 100 hours that in your opinion, isn't going to be done. I caught an article by David Sirota, I believe it was. It was David Sirota, remarking on the fact that his brother is an emergency room physician, I think he said in Colorado. And he was incensed at these new ethical reforms. He wanted a little, he said, you know, at the same time we're saying that a lobbyist can't buy a congressman lunch or send him to play golf in Scotland, as was done with bug spray delay, and a couple of others, that apparently in the legislation that is being pondered, there is still no ban. Oh, dear. No ban on what David Sirota referred to as great big trucks backing up to the offices of congressional PACs and unloading truckloads of money. So we still have an abundance of work to accomplish. Because, after all, it can be said that this is a Democratic majority and that these were Democratic victories, but for this to mean anything to the United States of America, it must be your victory. It must be your accomplishment. And it must continue to run on your activism. Because, after all, Congress is what Congress is. And we have made a vow, you and I, us together, that we're not going to let up on this Congress just because it's got the majority. We've made a promise, haven't we? That we're going to be harder on this Congress than we ever were on the Republican Congress. Because this Congress promised us reform. This Congress promised us change. This Congress promised us integrity. This Congress promised us, working people, middle class, lower class, a voice. And if we are to see that through, it will happen because you, I, and many hundreds of thousands of others like us have determined that we will, in fact, not only hold their feet to the fire, but that we will build that damn fire, and we will sit on the other side of it with a pair of bellows until we have it white hot, and their little feet are just a crackling, and they run screaming off to do the right thing. Now, I know there may be some, you know, lily-livered, centrist, wishy-washy, middle-of-the-road Democrats. That's just not fair. Yeah, Lieberman. But you know what? I don't care. This was, in fact, a progressive victory. And if it is to have any success, it will have to be driven by progressive ideals and more than that, progressive determination. There is so much, again, to be accomplished. And I'm not willing to wait, and I don't feel any compunction to be patient. I have counseled patience myself. But, you know, January 4th has come and gone, and so has my patience. I've seen essays online by people counseling, well, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. Screw whether it's not going to happen overnight. It's when we demand that it happen overnight that it finally will happen in 2 or 3 weeks or 6 months. The reality, you know, and there are lectures out there by vaunted, noteworthy people who understand how government works. And again, they say, you know, we must be patient. No, we must not be patient. Patience will see us in November of 2008 and the other side saying, see, they didn't get anything done. Patience in 2008 will see the other side screaming, They're no better than we were. We're the party of moral high ground. There are rules, and there are procedures. I understand that. But the thing is, those are for the members to deal with. What will determine whether or not any of it is accomplished is, in fact, your ability to hang on to your idealism. And that is the only chance that we have. Demand election reform. Demand an end to electronic voting machines. Demand a return to the paper ballot. Demand an end to the Iraq war. Demand it yesterday, demand it today, demand it tomorrow, and demand it until it is done. Demand it until the little staffers who answer your very polite phone calls in congressional offices know you by your voice before you give your name. Demand that they follow through on their promises. And when they say, well, you know, it'll take some time, say, I understand you think it'll take some time, but by God, I'm reminding you that we don't have any of that. When you demand an end to the war, and they say, well, it can't happen overnight, remind them how many Americans die overnight. Because, you see, they want to hold hearings, and I'm all for hearings, and they want to have investigations, and I'm all for investigations. I want the people who started this nightmare punished for this nightmare. Unfortunately, the other side of that coin, however, is that every day that an investigation stretches on without the war being brought to an end, without the war being defunded, some house painter from Topeka doesn't come home to his children. Every day that this war doesn't end, some beat cop from the Bronx doesn't come home to his children. Every day that this war doesn't end, some landscaper from Smyrna, Tennessee doesn't come home to his children. And so the Congress, in the best of intentions, may be inclined to tell us, well, you know, we have decisions we have to make. You know what? That's true. They have it's their decisions. They have decisions to make, and they are their decisions alone. But it, by God, is our blood. Weakness kills. Indecision kills. For want of a nail, a shoe was lost. For want of a shoe, the horse was lost. For want of the horse, the king was lost. Well, we are in a place right now where the nails are wobbling in the shoes. And we, you and me, us, dare not wait for the horse to throw the shoe. We'll take a break and we'll come back to your phone calls. A couple of lines open if you want to jump in. 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on. This is the Head On Radio Network, and I am Bob Kincaid.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got
to
go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
Here's a test for you. Listen and identify the following water-saving devices in your home. Ready? That's the sound of water-saving device number 54, your toothbrush. Turning the water off while you brush your teeth saves more than 1,000 gallons a year. Next, that's your clock. Water-saving device number 23. Use it to reduce your shower by 5 minutes and save nearly 9,000 gallons a year. Try this one. Right, it's water-saving device number 83, your washing machine. Washing full loads of laundry or dishes can save thousands of gallons of water each year. Last clue. That's you, logging on to waterusitwisely.com, a fun website filled with hundreds of water-saving tips from your local water utility and the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water, use it wisely.
Then, about 26 minutes before the hour, and we go straight to the phones. Brian is calling from Tennessee. Hey, Brian, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling.
Hello. Hey, Bob.
How you doing?
I'm pretty good. I wanted to talk about. I've been thinking that McCain or Bush or somebody, I think they actually probably want the Democrats to say no to the troop surge because, you know, probably just some sick political tactics, so later on they can say, oh, well, look, you know, the reason we're losing the war is because the Democrats didn't give us the troops we needed. And, you know, that, which is, it's sick, nothing new for them, but I also think it's equally sick if the Democrats just roll over and play along with it. And I was looking at this letter that Nancy Pelosi wrote, Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid, if you go to speaker.gov, I can post the link in the chat room. It looks like, I mean, it looks like they're speaking for us, but, you know, they're saying, you know, Mr. President, the people have spoken and the generals have spoken, but then and I don't have the link for the response, but I've read somewhere that the Bush is talking about a compromise. Well, okay, we're only going to send like 9,000 to 15,000 troops or something like that,
which becomes even dumber.
Well, yeah, and it just kind of shows like the Democrats, I think they're afraid, you know, like they're afraid that they're, you know, they're just going to lose their newfound reign of power if they, you know, they're being intimidated by these, you know, like I said, it's a really thick political game that they're trying to play. But you were saying something about this earlier, what we need to do is remind them, you know, why they were put back in power to begin with, and remind them, you know, that they're not going to be voted out for saying no to this. Because, I mean, it's just stupid. There's no reason for it at all.
Well, the fact of the matter is, what the latest poll numbers say something like 11%. I mean, that's how George Bush is now at 11% in terms of approval of his war handling abilities. 11% of America, and you know that's about where you'd expect it to be. 11% of America is so sick and so twisted and so just hopelessly wrapped up in the Bush family blood game that you know they'd agree if he wanted to send 100,000. They'd agree with a draft. They'd agree with a 500,000. But you know this is brinksmanship now. This is gamesmanship, and it's going to be a tough game to play. But you're absolutely right. The Democratic majority cannot operate from a position of calculated fear. They wanted to lead. Now they have to lead, and in leading, they're going to have to take bold stands.
And there are those who say, you know, maybe this is just Bush's last-ditch effort to save his, you know, he needs his legacy to be bigger than his father. And then there are those who say that they actually want to break the military on purpose so they can privatize it and, you know, just use hired mercenaries and maybe, you know, just use the heroin money out of Afghanistan, like, or, you know, do an illegal war like they did with Iran-Contra. And
I think there's a simpler answer than both of those, frankly. The simple answer is, at this point, George Bush simply must, at least within the meaning of what passes for counsel that he is given, George Bush simply must make sure that this war extends past the end of his presidency. He's already told us.
And it's not his fault or his problem.
Yeah, then when we lose, well, you know, they wouldn't let me win. You know, so and what's more, this is the ugliest, most vile, most cynical kind of politics.
Yeah, I mean, I can just see it now. You know, close to 2008, whether it's, you know, Limbaugh or whoever, somebody's going to be on there saying, first they said, you know, he didn't send enough troops, and then they got the Democrats in there, and he tried to send more troops, and they wouldn't let him do it.
Well, yeah, exactly. And what idiots like that will miss is the fact that, you know, people like General Eric Shinseki were saying at the start, you got to send them now. You got to go in there with a 500,000. You know, you can't send 20,000 to 40,000 3 years later and think that that somehow equals 500,000 at the beginning. That's more of that miracle math made easy. It doesn't work, but I fully expect that to be the tactic. They've got to make sure now, because I think if you tossed them the bottle of Stoli or something, some Republican strategist, and got them in a room, gave them a nice cigar, they would tell you quietly that John McCain does not have a rat's chance of being president, and they don't want him to be president. At this point in time, the Republicans are ready to cede the presidency, just like, you know, just like they put the shiv between Gerald Ford's ribs. Okay? Because they want a Democrat in there to clean up their mess so that 2012 becomes a viable opportunity for another two-term Republican president, whose name, by the way, will be Jeb Bush.
Well, I wonder if that wasn't, Clinton's job. There have been those who said that, you know, Clinton actually worked for George Herbert Walker Bush. What, you know, what if he was, because he did a pretty good job of taking the blame for a lot of things. I mean,
but Clinton got his second term, and frankly, nominating Bob Dole in 1996 wasn't exactly a strong move. I don't so much see that, but I can certainly see it in operation with the Carter presidency, because we've spent a lot of I forgot my opening line, by the way. Here it is, the 5th day of January 2007, and Gerald Ford is still dead. But Gerald Ford was a placeholder, and as was noted on this program a few nights ago, any number of Republican strategists of that day said out loud that they didn't want him to be reelected, and that was part and parcel of the Reagan attack on his nomination. So what's coming in 2008, there's a whole lot of Brer Rabbit in the briar patch in it.
You may be right. I mean, they might just, okay, it's your turn to clean it up. I mean, they're good at messing stuff up, and then...
They're expecting...
And then it's up to people like us to figure out, well, okay, you know, how are we going to... How are we going to keep people and that kind of thing?
How are we going to keep that from happening? How are we going to keep whoever gets in the White House in 2008 from being a patsy for the GOP? Well, it starts, I would suggest, with not letting them pick our nominee again. You know, the Limbaughs of the world and the right-wing machine picked John Kerry for us after they had bumped off Howard Dean. They were scared to death of Howard Dean.
Oh yeah,
but they knew that they could.
That whole electability thing, and then we got to throw out democratic values. You know, we got to throw out anything that the Democratic Party actually stands for, and emulate them so that we can be electable. And then it didn't even work.
No, but in 2008 they get the best of both worlds. If they can manipulate the situation to the point that Hillary is nominated. And they get McCain. I think McCain really is the goal, because if the Bush family can screw John McCain just one last time, they would take real glee in it.
Well, I think that's what I think John McCain is trying to do by suggesting this troop surge. I don't know if it's his tactic, it's somebody's tactic, and it's just sick. It disgusts me. I mean, like I said, it's nothing new for them to play games with human lives. But I think somebody is expecting the Democrats to say no to the surge. And, of course, now the sending 9 to 15,000 troops, they're saying it's not a surge, it's a bump, which doesn't have as much of a sexual connotation as surge, but it has kind of a drug connotation, like, hey Dick, let's do some coke. Yeah. It's not exactly a line, but it's a bump. Kind of tied us over.
Yeah, just on the little fingernail. Oh, I know. It's disgusting, that is part of the gamesmanship. You know, if you want 10,000 of something, you don't ask for 10,000. You negotiate to 10,000, and you get there by starting out asking for 40. And I hope that Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi are cognizant of that fact, Brian.
I hope that I will be completely disgusted with the Democrats if they go along with this troop surge at all.
Yeah, none means none, and there's no there's no negotiating room on this. George doesn't get to order up a single extra troop. He has to, and according to this letter, the letter says, instead of thinking about surging, you got to start thinking about bringing them home. And that's, that's got to be the position. And you're not bringing them home by sending more, whether it's 1,000, 5,000, or 40,000. That's not the way to bring them home, is to send more over.
So, I mean, yeah, three years, and, how many thousand didn't do it, and, a lot of people say, they're just trying to move the goalpost a little further. Oh, well,
No.
Just a little bit further, and that'll do it.
It won't work, will it? I mean, if you think about it at all, it doesn't work. It's just, I got to keep my fingers crossed. But then again, you and I have a job, and that's to be on the phone every day to these offices telling them no more troops.
Right. And because, like I said, they're afraid, because we got to remind them, you know, they're afraid, they're not, maybe they're not sure of why we voted for them. They're afraid of, like, well, I mean, I've already explained it, so I'm going
to
get off the
phone. All right, Brian, thanks so much. Good to hear from you.
Yeah.
Hope we'll hear from you again.
Okay.
Bye now. And we roll on to our buddy Wayne. Hey, Wayne, welcome to the program. There's the button.
Hey, man.
How's it going?
Okay, how are you doing?
I'm okay.
Listen, I got an answer to Brian's thing.
Okay.
You know, and here's a very important word that Democrats have to learn. You know, when the Republicans say, oh, well, you said we didn't have enough troops, and then we tried to send more troops, and you said we can't send them and all that. You know, the simple answer to that is bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, period. You know, get out of my face. And, you know, I'm very excited about what's going on. I'm very excited about what's going on.
Well, I am too. I just, I think that we've got to keep the fire on them.
Oh, we got to do that. We have to do that. That, you know, listen, these people are really upset. These people who got defeated,
mm-hmm.
the neocons, the people that...
The PNACers.
Huh?
The PNACers.
Yeah, and the Tomackers. Doesn't that something?
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, they're really upset. So, I got to tell you what happened to me. Today was the greatest day in my 10-year career as a union representative.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, I got to tell you that. I don't know. I should explain, I guess, what I'm the president of the Carpenters Union in Beckley, West Virginia.
All right.
I work for an organization called the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. And that is made up of 15 building trade unions. Building trades meaning we build things. We build highways and...
Carpenters, laborers.
Carpenters, laborers, plumbers, millwrights, you know. Boilermakers,
electricians,
you know, laborers,
yeah.
Elevator installers, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
That's what I do. That's my job. And I couldn't, well, I think it's the greatest job in the world. I mean, I get to go out. I mean, they actually pay me to represent working people. It's really a good deal.
Yeah, it's almost like something you'd do for free.
I did it for free for a long time.
Well, see, that's what I mean.
You know, yeah. And so anyway. So, there's a pre-bid meeting today, and part of my job as a representative of these people is to see that the laws of the state of West Virginia are adhered to in the bidding process and the licensing and yada, 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 yada.
Because unlike the federal government, we still actually believe in bidding out government work.
Yes. Well, some people do. Not all. So anyway, I go today to a pre-bid meeting.
Now, what is one of those?
Okay, a pre-bid meeting is a meeting about the job, what these plans and specs mean. Here's the location, here's the building. You know, we want you to be able to look at everything so that you could give us a bid. Now, there are such things as mandatory pre-bids. And a mandatory pre-bid means if you're not at the pre-bid meeting, you're not allowed to bid. So, you know, I make sure that I go to these pre-bids, especially mandatory, and make sure that I get a list of the contractors to see if the guy that ends up with the bid was actually there at the bid, you know. Okay, I've been fighting with this organization, Forward Southern West Virginia.
Okay.
Who's like an economic development group.
So it's got a nice, warm, friendly, fuzzy kind of name.
Oh, yeah, sounds like it's a wonderful name. Sounds like a wonderful name.
Beats the hell
and
out of...
They got a lot of good projects.
Yeah.
Okay. My objection with these projects is they keep insisting on every project that the project is not state prevailing wage.
Okay, would it be worth our time to take a second and explain prevailing wage?
Prevailing wage in the state of West Virginia, there's the federal law is the Davis-Bacon Act. Many states, and I can't tell you how many, not all, have developed what they've called mini Davis-Bacon's. They're state prevailing law, wage laws.
Okay.
And a lot of these laws are, you know, make it better for the people in the state.
And they mandate the wage levels that will be paid on public works jobs
to each particular trade.
Right. Okay.
You know, a millwright makes more than a laborer. A millwright makes more than a carpenter. More highly trained, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
The whole nine yards, which, you know, that's a good deal. So anyway, I've been fighting with this organization for a long time about every project they've done and whether it should be prevailing wage, and I have prevailed in some of these cases. Not all.
Meaning that people have gotten a fair wage.
Right. And that the state prevailing wages apply, which provides you money, you know, a livable wage, health insurance, and a pension plan,
mm-hmm.
is the way it should work. So, I go to this meeting today because this group is putting out another bid. And this has been an ongoing project. At one time, they put out a bid for the interior demolition. It was state prevailing wage, no problem, blah, blah, blah. Then this person takes over, and everything's not prevailing wage. So I go to this thing today, and I argue with the person in charge that this is a state prevailing wage charge. He, of course, argues back. I probably should mention that the guy I'm arguing with is a priest.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. He's
a priest that doesn't want people to make a decent wage.
Or have health insurance or a pension. I mean, that's
where that's a heck of a priest, that priest.
It's one of them Jesuit priests. In fact, as a matter of fact, this man was president of Wheeling Jesuit University in West Virginia. Wheeling, I guess, right?
Yeah. No, I know who you're talking about now.
Years. Yeah, his name's Tom Ackers. So I argue with this gentleman, this Tom Ackers, that this is in fact, and he starts quoting me federal law, and I said, you know, we've gone through this, Tom. I'm not talking about federal law. I'm talking about state law. State law applies. You have to pay prevailing wage. And I said, I'm not going to argue with you anymore. I said, I just want every contractor in this room to know that I'm going to file a complaint, a lawsuit, write letters, do whatever I can, that the Department of Labor will intervene, and they will decide whether or not this is a prevailing wage job, of which I know I'm going to prevail. He starts to argue with me again, and I said, Tom, I'm not going to argue with you anymore. I just want everybody to know you better bid at prevailing wage because that's what it's going to be. So I leave. Well, I don't know. Within 20 minutes, one of the people that were at the pre-bid meeting comes to my office and tell me, man, you know, you won't believe what somebody said. And I said, what's that? And he said, and this was a woman who represents a company called Radford & Radford, a very prominent construction company in Beckley, West Virginia, builds schools, hospitals,
right.
yada, yada, you know, whatever, okay? She turns to this priest and says, you know, Father Tom, we can fix that for you. We have a concrete pour today, and this company, Radford & Radford, is building an educational mall that this priest, a higher ed center for this Forward Southern West Virginia, which this priest is the chairman over, the director, or whatever
right.
the hell he wants to call himself.
Right.
You know, king, cardinal, I don't care.
Queen of the May.
Right. And says, we can take care of that for you. We have a concrete pour today. She said, you know, they never found Jimmy Hoffa, and they'll never find Wayne Rebich.
What the hell?
I'm telling you what they... I said...
Jesus, Mary...
So I went to the... Well, I made a couple phone calls. I mean, you know, at first you go, wait a minute, you know. Then, I mean, you know, like, you know, this woman don't want to tell you. You know,
look, you can't.
Here's my history with this company is 10 years.
Yeah.
I have been after this company for 10 years. I have cost them, oh, I don't know if I could say hundreds of millions worth of grief. Okay, you know, because they don't want to follow the law.
Right. Because the law is a pain in the ass to them to follow the law.
Right, let's all be grown-ups here and gentlemen and you know, things like that. If you don't like the law, change it. But until you do, obey the one we got, and that's what I'm here for.
Well, exactly.
And, you know, I won't, anyway.
So this woman sits there and says that they can have you rubbed out.
That's what she said to me. I don't know. How the hell would you describe that?
Well, the fact that...
I mean, I take it as a threat.
You're damn right you take
that's
it as a threat.
That's the way I take it.
And you know, I'm glad you're mentioning this on the program, because this is archived now, and it is a fact, okay?
Well, archive this, too. I went to the state police and filed a civil assault charge. I mean, you know, I don't know how long this woman has been with Radford, but my history is 10 years. How do I know that she didn't hear the statement she made from the guy that owns the damn place?
Well,
that I've been such a pain in the ass to.
Well, it's not just that, though. That, you know, there's a history of this kind of stuff. I mean, in your position, you don't take that lightly. You don't take that as an idle threat. These kind of monsters do have people disappeared.
I know the history, brother.
Yeah, I know. And you know, it sounds to me like you're taking it seriously, and you damn well better.
Believe me, I am taking it seriously. I'm gonna make a bunch of noise. But I mean, I'm sorry. I was threatened. I mean, what the hell does that mean? Listen, I went and filed a report with the state police.
Yeah.
You know, I called them up, told them, and, you know, well, who was there? I said, I'll give you a list of everybody who was there, because that's part of my job. It's a mandatory pre-bid. I got to have a list of who's here. So you can't give it to somebody that wasn't here. You know, that's part of my job. I called a guy and told him, well, who did this? And I told him the lady's name and the outfit and her phone number, and he said, well, can you fax me that list or something? I said, where are you at? And he told me, I said, I'm just going to come over and see you. Well, between me going over there, he had called this woman, and she admitted it to him on the phone.
Oh, my God.
Said that, you know, she didn't.
Oh, I was only kidding.
She was only kidding, you know. Well,
you don't kid about stuff like that.
You don't kid about stuff like that to me. I'll tell you that.
Well, look here, Wayne. If I said something about, well, no, never mind what I said. There was a case, three, 4 years ago, you may remember it, where a guy's getting loaded in a bar, and he tells a joke that ends with the punchline of burning bush. That man is in prison now. The Secret Service landed on him like dogs on a bone wagon. And he was deemed to have threatened the president.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, brother, I was threatened today. And I ain't taking it lying down, I'll tell you that.
Well, no, don't.
You know, listen. Number one, they got to send some poor woman to send me a message like that. These guys ain't got enough... Boldens to pull off shit like that.
Yeah.
And you know what embolden means.
Yeah, yeah,
man.
To give balls.
Yes, exactly.
Serbian word.
You know, like, I don't know who they think they're messing with, but they threatened the wrong person as far as I'm concerned.
Well, and see, it's not just, you know, she can say, I was only kidding. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, the aim of that statement was to make you stop and think twice.
I know. I don't know.
Before
I
you,
know.
You know, before
I mean, I
you.
I think I'm handling this pretty good right now, but I, you know, this could cause me to have a nervous breakdown and things like that.
Well, you know, I don't know if you're saying that tongue in cheek or not, but the fact of the matter is,
no, there's validity to that.
You're a guy who has his chest wired back together. You've had bypass surgery.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
This is, you know, this kind of stress can do all kinds of things to a human being, and that was her purpose. That was her intent. Make you look over your shoulder. Make you wonder if you really want to argue that hard and do your job as well as you ordinarily do it. maybe make it a little easier for them to roll over you next time.
All I can say is they made a grave mistake. That's
good.
That's what I have to say.
Well, you have to treat it like that, because you can't. We none of us. You can't. Anybody faced with this kind of thing cannot let thuggery take the day.
Right. But, you know, and that's the whole irony of the thing. I mean, like, she's associating me with a man that, you know, a lot of people of her thinking think is, you know, one of the biggest mobsters, criminal, you know.
Yeah.
My personal belief is Jimmy Hoffa did more for working people than anybody in this damn country for a long time.
Well, that's the truth.
And
he didn't. I
always admire him for that.
Yeah, he didn't rise to be the head of the Teamsters because he was all mobbed up.
He wasn't all mobbed up. You know, like, he didn't live an extravagant lifestyle. He lived in the same house his whole tenure,
yep,
or whatever. He was in his office 7 hours a day. You know, in many ways, it's almost a privilege to be, you know, mentioned in the same damn verse. But not that way, pal.
No.
And that pisses me off.
Yeah, they didn't. They never found Jimmy Hoffa, and they won't find you. Oh my God!
Exactly, Wayne Ribbage.
Yeah, by name,
Wayne Ribbage. So,
You know, our good friend Mike Malloy ends a lot of his programs by telling people to watch your back.
Yeah,
Wayne, watch your back.
They don't have the gonads, man. But you know, everything will be okay. I'll report further.
Yeah, do please. Well, personally, this it's my personal feeling that this woman should be, she should lose her job for starters. Second, she should be answering.
I'm not in the business of making people lose their job, but this is one of them ones you got to do.
Yeah, and but what's more, it's not just a matter of losing jobs. It's also a matter of she should be in front of a magistrate in some county over in Raleigh County right now getting bail set.
Now listen, the worst part about this whole thing is she is directing this comment to a priest.
Yeah, you kind of got to wonder how the priest will respond if he heard the comment made.
According to the people that were there, the priest responded by, Wayne gets paid by an organization a lot of money to do what he does. I'm just happy he has a job.
Well, that's...
What the hell does that mean?
Yeah, that's not exactly calling her down for threatening your life, dude.
No, I don't read it that way at all. You know, I'm really glad he has a job, but, you know, if he was dead, he wouldn't have a job. What the hell does that mean? Huh?
Yeah, then there's, he's a priest. How about a little thou shalt not kill, ma'am?
I'm talking to the cop, and the cop says, we could file this. This will be here and all that, but we, you know, it's, if she made that threat directly to you, you know, and, I said, well, she didn't do that, you know, blah, blah. And he said, well, let me put it this way. If she made that threat to you and two great big guys grabbed your arms and started pouring concrete on you, I said, what, I'd be in a lot of better position?
Yeah, you'd have a much stronger
case. Yeah, I'd have a hell of a lot stronger case. And, you know, if you died, oh, my God, your kids.
Yeah, oh, well, yeah, right. We'd have a good one then. Yeah.
Anyway.
Could you take him a couple of sacks of Quikrete? Oh God!
Yeah.
Oh, and that's the problem with law enforcement. They want to sit there and play lawyer. They want to play lawyer about it. The fact of the matter is, she committed a crime, and it did not happen. It did not have to be in your presence in order for it to be a crime.
Well, that's exactly right. You know,
it's somewhere in Chapter 61 of the State Code of West Virginia. She committed granted, it's only a misdemeanor, but it's punishable by up to a year in the county jail. She committed the misdemeanor crime of assault.
Well, believe me, I got the lawyers, and I'll get the. I'm not gonna, you know, like you do. Well, I started this conversation out by saying bullshit,
and that's what it is.
And that's what it is, and I'm gonna prove them wrong.
Well, Well, you know, I think that there's a lot of different avenues for you to pursue. I'm sorry. I mean, we're pro-worker here, but I'm not pro that worker. That woman needs to not have a job anymore.
No, we'll get you a nice union job somewhere, man. You know, I don't know, cannon shit or...
Yeah.
I don't know. Something worthy of your talents or whatever.
Yeah, really. Let's not insult any particular hardworking people by suggesting she needs to be one.
Oh, very good point, Bob. I'm sorry. I apologize for anybody that I may have offended.
No, that's okay. I just, you know, I was thinking of a few really, really rotten jobs, but you know, the people that do those really rotten jobs usually have a ton of human dignity. They have to in order to
more
do those rotten
than
jobs.
Hell of a lot of guys on Wall Street, brother. I'll tell you that.
Exactly. Exactly.
Hell of a lot of guys.
But you know, this is just.
Listen, there is no job simple or easy or, you know, anybody that's willing to work every damn day and all that, they deserve to be treated fairly.
Darn right.
That's all there is to it, man.
That's the truth.
Work is an honorable thing.
Yeah. And it gives you definition, it gives you purpose, and it makes makes things like families work better. You know, when you can work and you can make a decent wage, the husband and wife aren't constantly at each other's throats over, you know, which bills do and don't get paid every month. And these people don't like that, Wayne.
Yeah. You argue about that lottery ticket.
Yeah.
But baby, this is our chance. You know.
But in all truth.
Oh, you're exactly right, man. Listen, I've said it a million times, man. If you work for a living, you go to work every day. You deserve to be paid a livable wage. You deserve to have health insurance, and you deserve to have a pension.
Yeah.
And that ain't too much for any working person.
Well, and this is all about who gets paid how much for building a public works project. If these people,
taxpayers' money.
Right. You know, your money, my money, taxpayer dollars. How much would these people like to pay working people to build it? $6 an hour? $8 an hour?
Well, I'll tell you what. I've had arguments with the mayor of Beckley. And, I go to him about the prevailing wage thing. And, the city of Beckley supports prevailing wage. We just think it's too much.
God. Oh, you know.
And what do you think it ought to be there, Mayor?
Yeah, that's where you go into that old that old cartoon moment where you reach into your coat pocket, pull out the pint, and throw it away because you know you've just too much.
Yeah, right. I wasted my time with this dude, but you know, yeah. You got to keep harassing him. I mean, it's fun. It helps them live longer lives, too. They have somebody to hate and threaten. And
well, that dirty old priest is... he's an old guy
here.
Now, isn't he? the old priest, I mean, isn't he like a septuagenarian or something?
I don't know. What the hell does that mean?
Like over 70.
Yeah, most definitely.
Well, the devil takes care of his own, I guess.
Oh, well, you know, oh, God. What a miserable son of a bitch he is. Sorry, I don't care if he's a priest or not. He gets upset with me because I don't call him Father. I call him Tom.
Call him Daddy.
I said, you know, here's the thing, man. Be a man of God or be a businessman. If you want to be a man of God, I said, you know, I'll play the game and call you Father. But you want to be a businessman, your name's Tom. And that's the way that goes.
Well, sure. At least, I don't know. Maybe he's Beckley's answer to being out there hustling Sea of Galilee mud mask.
Okay. Listen, I'm going to have to get off here. I have to go check my property, see if there's any landmines or snipers or shit out there.
God, I hate this.
Okay, brother.
Later.
Have a good one.
Watch your back.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Watch your back. Own a firearm. Yeah, see, I had a conversation the other day with a fella who was... We were talking about the Second Amendment. Now I'm not a member of the National Rifle Association, and I never will be. But I believe in the Second Amendment because I believe in the First, and the Third, Fourth, Fifth, Sixth, Seventh, Eighth, Ninth, Tenth, Eleventh, Twelfth, Thirteenth, Fourteenth, All of them. I never signed up for the cafeteria plan on the Bill of Rights. And as long as there are thugs, and you know, just because you're a girl doesn't mean you're not a thug. As long as there are thugs like this one, we're pouring concrete today, we can disappear him. You know what? Liberals need guns. Right? All right, I think we got a line open. 877-443-2366. If you want to light them up, we'll go straight back to the phones as soon as we get back from the news. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob. There's a bed by the bed and a phone in my hand, a dog on the floor and some cash on the nightstand. When I'm all alone, the demon stops and I just can't say. What should I do? Just a little baby. What if the lights go out and maybe, and then the wind just starts to moan outside and dark and follow me home now, good night. Ooh, now won't be certain if it's not here soon. I'm at the door going home with two soon till I say
this is the Quality News Network. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid are sending a letter to President Bush criticizing his impending decision to send more troops to Iraq and urging him instead to consider a phased redeployment strategy. President Bush is still working on his new Iraq strategy. Despite Pelosi's letter, one of the options he's considering is a boost in U.S. troops. Some reports indicate the president will send 8,000 to 9,000 troops. Others say the number could be 20,000. In its second day of Democratic control, the House voted overwhelmingly to change budget rules that permitted the deficits to grow in the past. The reinstated pay-as-you-go rule would require government spending cuts or tax increases to pay for increases in entitlement programs. Some job changes in the Bush administration. Today, the president named retired Vice Admiral Mike McConnell to take John Negroponte's place as the National Intelligence Director. Negroponte will go to the State Department to be Condoleezza Rice's deputy. A Republican lawmaker says half of the major terrorists in the U.S. government is looking for have already been caught and released. Representative Heather Wilson from New Mexico says al-Qaeda is working with the U.S. government and that at least one senior official has pictures of the terrorists after they were captured the first time. Another storm is on its way to the Plains states. Officials say it may hamper search and rescue efforts for people and livestock trapped in heavy snow. Colorado's governor has asked for federal assistance to continue dropping food and water there. In Alabama, Georgia, and Louisiana, severe storm warnings continue today. Yesterday, two people were killed in a tornado. In news around the world, in Baghdad, a prominent Sunni Arab group, the Association of Muslim Scholars, accused officials in the Shiite-led government of having links to Shiite militias, which are involved with sectarian violence. President Bush will ask Congress for $83 million to support the president of the Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas. The money would be used for the security forces loyal to him to bolster him in the Israeli-Palestinian peace process. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is expected to travel to the Middle East later this month to revive the stalled peace process. In Indonesia, officials say the pilot of the 737 passenger jet that disappeared this week was forced twice to change his course due to heavy winds. U.S. and Singapore military planes have joined the expanded search. 102 people, including three Americans, were on board. North Korea appears to be getting ready to conduct a nuclear test, but the U.S. warns there will be, quote, severe consequences if they do. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business next.
Monterey is the home of a new national radio voice. It's America Back on Track from the Quality News Network. Tune in weekdays at noon Pacific to this new national broadcast, a conversation with America designed to get our country back on track. America Back on Track features local and long-distance guests sharing global ideas on where we are, how we got here, where we want to go, and how we might get there. So take an hour out of your day to plug into the future, our future. Discover the solutions to the problems that have gridlocked our nation for all too long. Eschew the agenda-driven palaver of the left and the right. Tune into America Back on Track for honest talk about the important issues and how they can be resolved. America Back on Track, weekdays at noon on KRML, 1410 a.m. in the Monterey area, and streaming live online at QNNAmerica.com. America Back on Track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future.
The FDA today approved a drug to help dogs that are obese and help them manage their weight. It is estimated that 5% of U.S. dogs are 20% above their ideal weight. The drug, manufactured by Pfizer, is said to have unpleasant side effects, and that's all I'm going to say. In Rhode Island, several schools have been shut down following a mysterious outbreak of encephalitis and meningitis. Several elementary school children have been infected. One has died. In December, consumer electronics retailers Best Buy and Circuit City reported strong sales. Flat panel televisions, digital cameras, and notebook computers were popular. According to Money Magazine, the best jobs in the U.S. are software engineer, college professor, financial advisor, human resources manager, and physician's assistant. The occupations were ranked based on average salary, 10-year job growth, and average annual job openings. General Motors CEO said today he foresees more job cuts in 2007 and would ask the union for additional concessions. GM will close plants as part of its cost-cutting efforts. Unemployment applications increased by 10,000 last week. That makes a total of 329,000 Americans receiving jobless benefits. Light sweet crude is trading at $56.31 a barrel. And at the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones was down 83 points at 12,398. The Nasdaq was down 19 points at 2434. And the S&P 500 was down 9 at 1409. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Christine Kendall.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
I'm simply disgusted. You know, Wayne takes it with a grain of salt. Wayne laughs it off. But I don't think he's laughing it off entirely. He knows that there's a lot of seriousness in comments like that. What was it again? We've got a concrete pour going on. They didn't find Jimmy Hoffa, and they won't find Wayne Revich. Explain to me, please, if you can, how, under any circumstance whatsoever, that's funny to anyone. Did anybody giggle when it was said? Well, I didn't mean it. Well, honey, if you didn't mean it, why did you say it? Because, see, the fact of the matter is, these thugs do mean it. If they could get away with it, they'd do it. But at the very bottom line, what she hoped to accomplish was to make him a little less effective than he has been. Because you see, when these construction firms get to pay working people less, there's more for their own pockets. And that is sick, twisted, and disgusting. In its own right, never mind the death threat. The fact that they would rather pay a working person on a public works project less money so they could keep more is an absolute perversion of the governmental process. Let's go to the phones. Susan's with us from Columbia City, Oregon. Hey, Susan, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob.
How are you? I know.
What Wayne needs to do is have his lawyer draft a letter to the Pope.
The Pope?
The Pope! This Jesuit who answered to the Pope sat there and did nothing.
Yeah, that's true.
Basically,
he certainly didn't disagree with her. I mean, yeah. from the way it was reported here, he didn't disagree with her.
Yeah, basically, he should be asking the Pope, why are your orders turning out mobsters?
Yeah, or, you know, I mean, maybe, or maybe even a little closer to home. How about, let's see, West Virginia is ruled by the Wheeling, the Diocese of Wheeling-Charleston. And they've got a bishop or an archbishop or a never cardinal or a queen of the May or whatever. I mean, yeah.
Never, ever go to a flunky.
Well said.
Daddy taught me that at his knee, and it has worked beautifully for me.
Start at the top.
You call or contact the Pope. Because he gets his office, he'll never see it probably, but his office gets a letter from a lawyer threatening legal action.
And you know what? I hate to say it, Susan, it would probably be a relief to him. Oh, wait, they're threatening legal action and this doesn't involve sexually abusing a child? Sorry, that was a cheap shot, I guess.
Yes, I know, but let's face it. The word legal action to the Catholic Church these days has got to really freak them out.
It's very unpleasant.
And so, you know, getting things from lawyers has really got to hit a nerve. And so when they start getting letters from lawyers to the Pope, they're going to pay attention.
I like the idea.
And another thing.
I bet we've even got a friend who could render it into the Pope's native tongue.
He does need it. He's got enough people down on his staff to put it.
Be nice if we could send it in triplicate in German, Latin, and Aramaic or something.
Another thing. You said that Wayne said this priest worked for this organization. Fine, pick it the priest, pick it the organization, and tell him why.
Yeah, well, and you got it. Well, I have no respect for this particular priest to begin with, because this is his motive. The way he wants to treat these the working people on these jobs is his modus operandi.
Yeah, that's just tacky, really tacky. But that's not why I called.
Oh, okay.
Did you catch the insult that the re-pigs hit Nancy Pelosi with not 5 seconds after she'd been sworn in?
No.
Oh, yeah. Tradition states that if there is a shift in the power structure, the outgoing speaker hands the gavel to the incoming speaker. Now, Nancy Pelosi was given the gavel by Boehner. Brist stood in the back of the chamber.
You mean Hastert?
A direct quote from several sources.
Well, I saw a photograph of
glaring grimly.
Yeah, I saw photographs of Denny Hastert way, way in the back of the building.
Yeah, Hastert. Sorry. But he should have been handing that gavel to her. He didn't. The fact that he refused to, the fact that he did not, is a slap in the face to Pelosi.
Well, there's no end to what these pigs do, is there?
Oh, yeah. They couldn't wait just to do that, you know. Another thing, I wanted to get this stuff in real quick because I'm probably going to be hauled off to Gitmo shortly.
Let's hope not.
Well, I emailed the White House. I'm not going to say. One of the things I said in my email was that I would support his escalation for this war about the time I saw the Bush twins dodging bullets in Fallujah. Now, I don't know if they're going to take that as a threat or not.
No, I don't think it is. I think it's a statement of patriotic sentiment.
Yeah,
The way I feel about it, Susan, and this is crappy and mean-spirited, and I know that, but that's all right. They can surge as many college Republicans as they can get to sign up.
Yeah.
They can surge as many Republican children, Republican congressmen's children and grandchildren as they can get to sign up.
Rot the rock.
Yeah, well, you know, that just means there won't be a surge.
Right. and I refuse to call it a surge. It's an escalation.
Well, sure it is.
And, you know, it's, that's all it is. He, and it's only for political purposes. He's come right out and said so.
Yeah, that's true. They have.
Voice to die.
So that he can keep this thing going on long enough to where if it ends, it ends on somebody else's watch. And once again, little George never has to take responsibility for anything.
Yeah. My other hot button thing tonight is dear Tyrant Bush and his signing statement about reading our mail, which is why I am now referring to him as Tyrant Bush. And that was the other part of my White House email. I informed him as such. And I got to thinking that the way that they keep track of, you know, the way they snoop into our emails, our phone calls, so on and so forth, is they use keywords. You know, like anthrax.
Well, yeah. And
that type of thing.
Yeah.
So, what do you think would happen if hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people all of a sudden started on every...
Because that was his commander-in-chief telling him that Saddam was going to get in a little rubber raft and start rowing for America with his homemade nuclear device if we didn't attack and attack immediately.
Mm-hmm. And I honor him for being willing to stand up and say, I was lied to, I was foolish, I was wrong, I am sorry, I'm going to do everything I can to fix this. And even, you know, that included getting called a coward on the floor. Having that freakazoid call him a coward.
Mean Jean?
Yeah, I Mean Jean. Oh, I wanted her to lose.
Well, she almost did.
Well, almost isn't good enough.
I know, and, well, I think her sun has set as her race is run.
Yeah. Anyway,
But don't worry. She'll be back, or somebody like her will be back. The nasty, you know, just because they're in the well, I frankly expect them to get even nastier than they've ever been.
That's why we are going to have to get even more and more to be full. We're going to have to get downright mean.
Well, I'm for that.
None of this. You know, the world is a wonderful, nice place. Horse, pucky. If you're not careful, the world's going to chew you up and stick you out.
Well, I share that opinion.
If you want to survive, there are times when you are going to have to just get mean.
Well, and, you know, it's the whole Sean Connery thing from The Untouchables. If they bring a knife, you bring a gun.
Well, I was thinking there's a line from the movie, Clint Eastwood movie, Outlaw Josie Wales.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you have to get crazy ass mean.
Was that the old Indian chief who said that?
No, that was Josie Wales. He was about two.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I suggested earlier in talking with another one of our listeners and friends of the program that we need a congressional effort to email that wonderful Will Kimbrough song, Less Polite. Email it to every single member of Congress. Or not member of Congress, every single Democrat in Congress.
Personally, I would prefer to email the one by Wicked Sister. We're not going to take it.
Oh, yeah,
anymore.
Twisted Sister, yeah.
Yeah, Twisted Sister, I'm sorry. We're not going to take it anymore.
Well, I hope this is they're trying to say, yeah, we're better than them, but when the rubber hits the road, I hope that Nancy Pelosi has an iron fist inside that couture velvet glove.
Yeah, I hope she does too. I hope she has some really really nice steel hooks under those designer nails. She's gonna need them.
I think she will. This is gonna be a tough fight. Susan, thank you so much.
Thank you, and oh, by the way, tell Alice I think the production chat server crashed.
Oh, it did. Oh, yeah. Thank you for reminding me. I should mention that. Take care, Susan.
You too.
Bye now.
Bye bye.
It wasn't, and just so you'll know, it wasn't just our chat server. It was the entire Sigma chat server system. But apparently, I'm told by Agnes that it's back. So it remains to be seen. If you, but that's what happened. We apologize for the mix-up. We're going to take a quick break, and what? Yeah, I know. Oh, look, Bob's taking another break. Huh. The filibobster. Jeez. No, we'll be back. 877-443-2366 is the number. Jump in if you if the spirit moves you. I'm Bob Kincaid.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
Do you believe the environment is issue number one? Does the idea of genetically modified food cause you to lose your appetite? Do you prefer green over greed? Do rising sea levels and vanishing polar ice cause you concern about our planet and what we are doing to it? Would you like news with attitude on the environment, organics, renewable sources of energy? Well, then join me, John Fox, for Foxed Up. Weekdays 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. in the U.K., and 9 a.m. here in Sydney, where conversation radio becomes conservation radio, and we turn it straight up to 11, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Today, all Americans are feeling the pinch of high energy prices. And this winter, the cost of heating your home could account for nearly half of your energy bill. I'm Energy Secretary Sam Bodman, with steps you can take to save money and make your home more energy efficient. First, give your home furnace or heat pump a checkup to ensure it's running as efficiently as possible. Proper insulation in attic, ceilings, floors, crawl spaces, and exterior and basement walls can save 30% on your home energy bill. And insulate the heating ducts, even in unheated areas of your house. Finally, installing a programmable thermostat will ensure you don't pay for energy you aren't using. Program the thermostat down to 65 degrees for 8 hours a day to reduce your heating bill by up to 10%. You have the power to make a difference. You can reduce your home energy bills and help our nation reduce its energy use.
For more energy efficiency tips, please visit our website at www.doe.gov or call toll-free 1-877-337-3463. This powerful savings message is provided by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Alliance to Save Energy.
prosperity. Scandal in the White House, an election is what we need. From coast to coast to Washington.
And a half minutes before the hour, we're halfway, a little more than halfway done with tonight's program, moving into the weekend. I'm Bob Kincaid. We go straight back to the phone. Sarge joins us from southern Mississippi. Hey, Sarge, welcome to the program.
Boy, what a night, huh? Good gracious, this is strange.
Yeah, it is.
By the way, if the chat ever goes down like that again, everyone just head over to unreportednews.net's chat, and we'll keep you posted, and as soon as it gets back up, everyone can move back over. But
okay, thanks, Sarge.
Anytime, man, because anytime it goes down, our chat's always open to head on.
We appreciate it. We certainly do.
Let me ask you, did you get that email I sent with that song?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, man, that is a powerful song. I heard it this morning, and man, it is actually a country war protest song.
Well, they're out there. There's a substantial movement. I forget the name of the organization, but a lot of performers and songwriters there in Nashville have created an anti-war organization that is really powerful. And of course, our friend Will Kimbrough's American Itis album from last year made the top 10 list from, I think, for even USA Today. And there's nothing more powerful out there than Our Warring Ways or Less Polite. You know, just profound stuff. But, yeah, that's a great tune, Sarge.
Yes, it is. And I tell you what, this song that I sent you, it has this place at the end. The boy's son gets killed in Iraq. And he says, now I find myself hugging the name on the wall or something like that. It just hits you so hard, man. It's just powerful. They played it on a Tucson station 5 nights in a row as a competition against another song each day. And this one won all 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
It never got beaten. This is in Tucson. So it's something. It's just, you know, I've heard it and I just kept listening to it over and over again because I could flash back to things like that happening, like when my friend Reggie we got telegrams back in those days, and he got told that his parents got told that he was dead, and just when they were just about settled into the fact that he was gone, they got another telegram, and it said, whoops, we made a mistake. He ain't dead. He's just almost dead.
Oh, my God.
And he had gone through several surgeries. He's, well, the same situation as Cleveland, Max Cleveland. But he's, he is it's so horrible because when they'd send those telegrams, they'd be hard cold. And they'd just, you know, your son is dead. Stop, you know. And it just would tear your heart out just to read that. And then a few days later, whoops, we made a mistake. Your son ain't dead. He's just almost dead. And it just tore that family to pieces. And that's happening every day around here, you know, because someone dying over there has a family here or somewhere.
Yeah.
But everybody has somebody that is going to be torn to pieces. And that's why we got to quit thinking, well, I'll call when I get time. I don't know. I got too much to do. No, you don't have too much to do to pick up the phone, dial your congressmen, your senators, and say, get the hell out of Iraq. It just doesn't take that much damn time, and we've got to do it.
Right. It's logistically possible. It could be started yesterday.
Mm-hmm. And every time Bush keeps saying we're working to achieve the mission, and he never says what the hell the mission is.
No, never.
He's going to keep saying that. Either tell us what the mission is or shut the hell up.
Well, you know, at one point it was, we're going to establish democracy in Iraq. Well, that one's gone. There weren't any weapons of mass destruction, so that one's out. Free and peaceful Iraq. You know, and all of those are just platitudes. Those aren't missions. Those are not well, you know better than I do. You were in the military. Those are not militarily accomplishable goals.
No. It's just like a war on terror. There is no such thing as a war on terror. You don't fight wars on feelings and emotions. There is no way you can beat terror because there is no such tangible object. And now I have been around terrorism before. They had it in Germany when I was over there, the Bader-Meinhof. I met them face to face. I encountered them. And the only way you beat terrorism is with a good, solid police effort. You do not use the damn military might to defeat terrorists.
You do not SWAT flies. You don't SWAT flies with sledgehammers.
There you go. That's it. And it's just so stupid. And yet, at the same time, here we are, sitting in Mississippi and Louisiana. We have people actually dying. They're saying, oh, it'll take 5 years. Hell no, it won't take no damn 5 years. They can fix this problem down here and a year and a half, 2 years.
If they wanted to.
Yesterday.
If they wanted to.
That is exactly right. They don't want to because they are killing these people down here. And they are killing them. Make no mistake about it. There are people dying every damn day.
Well, but it gets even better, Sarge. I don't know if you're aware of this or not. But the freak that CNN hired so that they could make headline news a little bit more like
Glenn Freck.
Yeah, Glenn Beck. A little more like Fox. This is not going to come as anything that you're going to like. So, like, sit down or something if you haven't already seen it. This guy has argued, and let's just get to the brunt of it, the crux of it. He made an argument on his program, and this is a quote. It might not be bad if a hurricane was to clean out the streets in New York City.
See, that's what burns me up, because that's just like I was telling you about this jerk, Dave Benson, that's a station manager at WLOX Television on the coast. That son of a gun says, well, we're doing better than they are in New Orleans. I don't give a rat's ass whether we're doing better than New Orleans, because I want New Orleans well. I want the Mississippi Gulf Coast well. I don't want this, we're doing better than them, because if we're not doing good and they're not doing as good as us, that means it's wrong on both ends. And I'm not going to accept that. That's bull. And if I hear that man say that to me one more time, I think I'm in his presence, I'm going to knock him upside the head. I cannot stand that mindset. Just because.
Well, you know, what is it, Sarge? What goes on? And this is I know it's a different topic, but it's the same kind of thought process. What is it about these weirdos, these right wingers, whatever the hell they are, that making jokes about killing people is funny? What is it to Glenn Beck? I mean, this is the conversation he's having with a hurricane expert. Well, the guest or whatever says, well, New Orleans is very vulnerable. So is Houston. So is Tampa. So is Miami. Even New York. And so it's not a matter if you'll have a strong hurricane strike those areas. It's a matter of when. Beck, what is the city that you're most concerned about? What is the one that you say, this is it? This is ground zero. Well, it could be Tampa, extremely vulnerable, low-lying, a big bay. A hurricane will funnel the water in and flood the entire city. Beck, right. New York is extremely vulnerable, too, if a hurricane strikes just west of them and funnels all that water just north along Long Island into the city itself. They could have 20 to 25 feet of storm surge. Beck, actually, that would clean the streets out. It might not be bad.
They're cowards. They are friggin' cowards. They don't have enough gumption.
But my God, Sarge, this is New York. This is the city that lived through 9/11.
Yeah.
This is the city that watched those two gigantic, beautiful, magnificent the monuments to American capitalism pancake and saw 3,000 people die. And this monster, this so-called recovering alcoholic, this Glenn Beck has the gall to say that a hurricane would be good for New York City. Oh, I was only kidding. People complain, Sarge, that we've lost our sense of humor in the United States. I don't agree with that. There's some stuff that just cannot be made funny. Well, that's not funny.
I tell you what, I have been through two super, super bad hurricanes. I went through Camille, which was a Category 5, which killed hundreds and hundreds of people, and then Katrina. So I have seen two of the worst hurricanes on record. And I'll tell Mr. Glenn Beck to kiss my ass, because I have seen these storms. I have seen the worst of the worst. And if that son of a bitch wants to come talk to me, let him come, because I guarantee you, when I get through with him, he's going to wish like hell he hadn't ever seen me. Because pinched nerves in both arms and my neck, I don't give a damn. I'll knock the son of a bitch for a fucking loop. Excuse me.
But, yeah, easy there. That okay. Agnes draws the line at the F word.
But I don't like that kind of talk, because people's lives are important.
Well, we're sitting here, we're wondering, why we can't get meaningful recovery going along the Gulf Coast. You want to know why we can't get meaningful recovery going along the Gulf Coast? Sarge, it's because there are people like Glenn Beck who have bully pulpits on things like CNN Headline News and can sit there and make a joke about Katrina, oh my God. This is astonishing. I saw this right before the program, and I thought, I could open the program, but I'm not going, because I knew I would be hoarse from screaming within the first half hour of the program.
It's just, tomorrow is really a lovely day, and I only know of one place that it's going to be mentioned. But Mr. Leroy Johnson is moving into his brand new home tomorrow.
Well, good.
And it's going, it's Saturday, so Head On Radio is not going to be on, but the Truth to Power Hour, which is 3 hours long, Jim Yancey is going to be on it, and he's going to have Mr. Johnson with him.
So wonderful.
We will be able to hear from Mr. Johnson, and I hope people will listen to it, because this man, we really need to reach our hands and our arms of love to this man, because if there's one person in the world that needs it, it's Mr. Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
We are working on this project, and it's going really good. I want to give kudos to Cassie and Betsy for stepping up like they have. They're even setting up their own situation in Texas.
Yeah.
And I think that is wonderful. If anybody else wants to do the same thing in their state, hey, contact me, because this is one time when you cannot give too much. This is one time when there's no way we'll say we've got all we need. Well, we're not going to be there.
Right. Well, Sarge, I appreciate your thoughts, and boy, I tell you,
Sorry about that slip.
No,
I don't do that.
No, that's one of the beautiful things. We're not under the thumb of the FCC here.
Well, I usually don't do that, but I just, that's just, well, you know what I'm.
Well, saying. I got to tell you, not just you, but everybody. I have said, look, if it just gets really bad and you got to use a word, use the word. We're not under the thumb of the FCC, but I will tell you that Agnes is a much more nice, much more proper individual than I am, and with every brown word, with every F word, with every SOB, GD, or anything else, Agnes sits here, and I got to tell you, Sarge, she physically cringes.
Well, I'm sorry, Agnes, but it slipped out before I could.
No, I understand. They do it to you, Sarge.
Yeah.
You know,
these guys are disgusting because, look, man, I talk to these people all the time, and I'm actually going to a lot of them and saying, look, can your church help with this situation? Can your bank help with this situation? And they just give me one excuse after the other, and I'll say, don't you have someone that lives down there? Yeah. Then why aren't you concerned about them? Oh, well, if they need something, I'll take care of them.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, bye.
So yeah, it's one of those so long and thanks for all the fish kind of moments. No, but the thing I understand, Sarge, but what we're dealing with here. I mean, these people, the companies, you know, that we'd like to talk to, is that these people get humongous tax breaks for giving stuff away.
Yeah, well, that's one good thing about it. This tax
because break. They bill it when they write it off, they write it off at retail.
Well, this tax break, you can get a tax break for donating to the Jackson County Community Services because it is tax deductible.
Well, exactly.
And will be receipts given out.
Great. Thank you, Sarge.
Okay, we'll see you.
All right, bye now. I don't know. Do me a favor. I work in very close proximity to my lovely wife. And she makes really mean faces at me when the bad words come out, when I use them or anybody else. Let's you know there are ladies present. Let's put it that way.
No, if we want to succeed, then we have to.
Turn your mic on, honey.
That made a funny noise.
Turn your mic on, honey.
One of the things is that we want to go further than this and get the word out. And if we just let loose and let it all fly, all the communication is going to be shut down. They're just going to look at us and go, ah, yeah, well, see, that's all they got to
do. They use dirty words.
Well, we know they use dirty thoughts, but the point being is that we want to be able to say what we've got to say and get it out there farther reaching than what we are now. So if we want to do well, then we need to be able to say what we need to say with passion without using slang. If we can do that, I think we'll do a lot better.
I don't think it's the slang you're upset about, dear.
Oh, those words are slang. I mean,
those words are.
But it's. I understand. I understand how you can get so angry, because I'll be the first one to admit. Lord knows, I can swear like a sailor. But if
actually, she can make a sailor blush.
But if we want to make a point, and we want people to listen, we have to be able to speak well. That's why I ask that people. Try not to swear too much. I mean, I understand. But people will shut down and not listen to us if we do that.
Now.
Yes.
That's the words of the boss.
I'm not the boss.
Yeah.
I'm here for the free food.
Yeah, you're only here for the beer. We know.
I don't drink.
Yeah, you keep telling people that. She's got a hollow leg. I've seen her put burly 300-pound men under the table. Just drink them right into oblivion. Now, all kidding aside, we have a very, very fancy high-tech delay here. We don't use it because, and there's a little bit of a philosophical thing going on here. I believe it's the internet's, and therefore, as long as it's not regulated by the FCC, it's free speech. Agnes, on the other hand, believes that she's still got this urge to try to reach out to others and reach out to, I don't know, right-wingers or something and convince them of the rightness of our position. I believe we're dealing with the stump licker bunch myself. They talk that way all the time. But, you know, then again, we had a little, and I'm not kidding. Agnes physically cringes. She physically cringes at some of these words. And it's because she works hard to make sure that she doesn't hear those words coming out of our children's mouths. But that being the case, I ask you this. What is the bigger obscene? Obscenity. What is the greater obscenity? A person who, in the midst of a passionate comment, uses an Anglo-Saxonism or a little bit of oldie German. I think that's the origin of the F word. To strike, to hit, something like that. Is that more obscene, or is it more obscene when Glenn Beck says a hurricane would clean the streets of New York City out? You know, there are people on the streets of New York City. There's a lot of subliminal content in what these right-wing hate-meisters spew. In Glenn Beck's pretty little right-wing world, it would be a happier place if only we never saw homeless people. If only we never saw bag ladies or unkempt, unshaven, uncleaned, unbathed men who, by virtue of some thing going on in their head, push shopping carts filled with their entire world. Which is more obscene? Wanting every last one of those people dead? Or someone occasionally letting loose with a so-called dirty word? We'll be back after the news. Want to jump in? There's plenty of room on the telephone lines. 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush has made changes to important positions in his administration, is replacing the top two generals and ambassador in Iraq, and is reportedly planning to send thousands more troops to Iraq. He is expected to announce a change in war strategy early next week. Senate Armed Services Committee Chairman Carl Levin announced today that the committee would hold a meeting next week to discuss U.S. strategy. Defense Secretary Robert Gates and General Peter Pace, the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, are expected to testify. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says congressional Democrats will fight any effort to boost troop levels. In a joint letter, she and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid criticized the expected move and urged the president instead to consider a phased redeployment strategy. In Washington, President Bush has nominated John Negroponte to be second in command at the State Department as Condoleezza Rice's deputy. He also nominated retired Admiral Mike McConnell to replace Negroponte as intelligence director. Both nominations still need congressional approval. In its second day of Democratic control, the House voted overwhelmingly to change budget rules that permitted the deficits to grow in the past. The reinstated pay-as-you-go rule would require government spending cuts or tax increases to pay for increases in entitlement programs. The House has also adopted legislation that would prevent lawmakers from accepting meals and gifts from lobbyists or flying on corporate jets. In news around the world, in Baghdad, a prominent Sunni Arab group, the Association of Muslim Scholars, accused officials in the Shiite-led government of having links to Shiite militias, which are involved with sectarian violence. Also in Iraq, a U.S. soldier was killed by gunfire yesterday in western Baghdad. In Indonesia, officials say the pilot of the passenger jet that disappeared this week had to change course twice because of heavy winds. U.S. and Singapore military planes have joined the expanded search. 102 people were on board the plane, three of them Americans. North Korea appears to be getting ready to conduct another nuclear test, but the U.S. warns there will be severe consequences if that happens. Six-party talks to convince North Korea to abandon its nuclear weaponry program were unsuccessful last month. International sanctions and U.S. financial restrictions remain in place. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news coming up next.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and the victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of rancor. You got married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
Several schools in Rhode Island have been shut down following a mysterious outbreak of encephalitis and meningitis. One elementary school child has died and several others are infected. Consumer electronics retailers Best Buy and Circuit City reported strong sales last month. Flat panel TVs, digital cameras, and notebook computers were popular. Taiwan has launched its $15 billion high-speed rail system. The 12-car train is designed to be an energy-efficient, environmentally sensitive transport for Taiwan's 23 million customers. General Motors CEO says he foresees more job cuts in 2007 and plans to ask the union for more concessions. GM will close plants as part of its cost-cutting efforts. Unemployment applications rose by 10,000 last week. That makes a total of 329,000 Americans who are receiving jobless benefits. Mortgage applications rose last week by 3.6%. Home loans did a brisk business, even though interest rates grew again. This week, rates on 30-year mortgages stayed level. And software engineer, college professor, financial advisor, human resources manager, and physician's assistant are the most popular careers, according to Money Magazine. Light sweet crude settled at $56.31, and at the close of Wall Street, the Dow was down 83 points, NASDAQ down 19, S&P 500 down 9. There's more on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Bob.
Where's Bob? There's Bob. I'm Bob.
One of these nights we're going to play Hi Bob. You ever played Hi Bob? A lot of fun. 6.5 minutes after the hour. If you got anything left, burr under your saddle, be under your bonnet. Get it. It's no good. Don't keep it for the weekend. It's bad for you to bottle that stuff up. Wayne's back with us for a second. Hey, Wayne, welcome back.
Okay, am I there?
You're there.
I'm there. Okay. Listen, I won't take up a whole bunch of your time. I agree with Agnes, and you know, I'm going to try to clean up my act.
Oh, I love you.
But I want to make a case for the word bullshit. I mean, do you think I...
Now, you made her send coke through her nose. This is three nights in a row. Liquid has come out of Agnes's nose that she was trying to drink.
Well, I mean, I just listened to my argument. I will abide by your judgment, Agnes. You know, I mean, what's happening, what we have allowed these people that we supposedly elect to office do is bullshit. Now, that is a fact.
It absolutely is.
You know, I'm not educated enough to think up a fancier word. And, you know, my amendment is that we abide by Agnes's rule as long as the word bullshit is allowed.
Bullshit's on the list, okay?
Is that, I mean, wait, I got to hear it from her.
Oh, no, okay. Microphone, Agnes.
Okay. Bullshit is fine.
It's in the Bible. Said it. It's there now.
Okay, well.
It's in the Bible. It's fine. Ass is fine.
Okay. As for the rest
I
of
hear,
the night,
I hear that
really
GD is fine.
Be better.
It's, we got to stay away from the F word and evidently anything to do with any type of violence.
Well, you're making.
Oh yeah, we don't want. You know, I've already been threatened today. I don't want to complicate.
Well, no. As long as
I wouldn't bring this horror on any other human being. I mean, I'm. You know, I'm really. I think I'm starting to lose it. I may have a nervous breakdown. You know,
we're
you don't
here
hear
for
from
you.
Me in a couple of days. I mean, I don't. You know.
Yeah, we'll come looking for you.
Maybe I should get one of them. Where you can locate me with a satellite thing shot in my hip or temple or something.
Protective custody?
Yeah, we'll put an RFID.
Yeah, right. There you go.
No, we'll put an RFID chip in
you
somewhere.
Yeah, Nick Rahal got a whole bunch of, yeah. They're going to put them in the state police car.
Yeah, we'll put one in you while
we're
at it.
Doesn't matter. They need a pay raise or guns or radios that work. We're going to put satellite shit in our car.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep. Well, that's okay, but Agnes.
I'll make a case for that one some other night.
Yeah, and Agnes has used the word now, so you know she's part of the confraternity.
Bullshit's okay.
Bullshit's okay.
Okay, bro.
Later, Wade.
All right, man. Bye.
Bye now.
Poke me with a stick.
Yeah, we're poking Agnes with a little sharp stick now. Our good friend Suzanne is calling in. Hey, Suzanne, how are you?
Hi there, Bob. Oh, I'm fine. I thought everyone was going
to
go next.
You can say it, too, if you want to.
Oh, hey, I do, but I save it for the chat.
Oh, okay.
I put it in there, and you guys don't always see it. I'm calling about an email I got today from the DSCC.org.
That would be the Democratic Senatorial. Yeah, Chuck Schumer.
Yeah, and Rahm Emanuel. I sent it to just about everybody in the chat room. Already, I really would like it if you all would get in there and click and sign the personal note congratulating them, because it has space on it. Honest to God, space to say something.
Oh, good.
It's not a big space, but you know we can condense what we have to say and tell them, you know, impeachment is not off the table, or you know whatever, or you know run them into the ground, whatever you want to tell them, whatever you want to say to them. And I think it just makes sense, you know, for us to use this as feedback. It's rare that we can actually reach these two people. It really is.
It is. Well, and you know, Rahm Emanuel has already nominated his successor.
Oh, I know.
I can't remember the guy's name offhand, but I've done something similar to what you did. I made a phone call to his office and said, you know, okay, we're behind you. We put you in office. Now make it worth our while.
Yeah, well, I have been doing that. There was something that came, in fact, I may have sent this to you, too, from Move On to send out and sign a petition and space for a little comment. So I made a little comment. I figured, you know, hey, if you've got it, use it, you know, because it's so hard, as I said, to reach a lot of these people. I have a little old man that I send things off to. He's back in California, and he writes me back, and he says, but you know how to contact these people. I said, let's see. I don't just know how to contact these people. You can do it, too. You know, and they don't care if you can't spell.
No.
You know, but you got to tell them. And he says, well, no, well, we need to tell the Republicans. But no, that's not who we need to tell. The people we need to tell are the Democrats that we elected, and tell them to keep on what we're doing. Anyhow,
no, but you're right, and I believe in calling their offices too, because they, as much as you know, those of us who try to engage in a little telephone activism, Suzanne, tend to forget that there a lot of us don't. You know, the right wingers, for instance, tend to
sign on to these group programs where you go through their mail server and you send these blast emails.
Oh, I know.
But the personal effect of actually talking to somebody in the office and cogently getting your point across, as opposed to sounding like that, you know, you just walked over and picked up the phone with your knuckles like the right wingers do, I think it makes a difference.
See, in California, most of the time when I was living there, I didn't have to do that except with Diane Feinstein. But I had Pete Stark as my rep. You met Pete on the phone. And he's really a cool guy, and, you know, you really don't have to say anything to him, but it's nice to, you know, tell him every once in a while, hey, you're on the right track. And Barbara Boxer most of the time would do what we wanted.
But they do like to be reminded that we've got their backs.
Yes. But I'm in Texas now, and I have sent two or three emails to my representative. And of course, everything that comes back from him is how wonderful Bush is.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm guessing you don't have one of the good representatives.
Oh no. I think I sent something to you. This is Dick Armey's old
district bailiwick. Yeah.
But it's changed. This is North Texas. This is where the Dallas is growing north.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of people here who are from out of state. In fact, I met someone who worked in the same school district where my kids went to school in California and actually knew who I was because I was a hellraiser. So I was really surprised. But there are other people. My daughter keeps running into people here that are from our area.
So this is
different. And if the people are moving here from liberal areas, this is not the same place. But trying to find out even how to register to vote in the state is, I still don't know how. I voted in California in the last election because there were some local things I had to vote for. And so,
You got 2 years to figure it out.
I know.
But no, I don't doubt that, you know, Texas is part of the South. And the South is notorious for trying to keep voter registration as low as possible because, you know, we wouldn't want those people upsetting the apple cart. Unfortunately, we are those people.
Oh, I know. Well, I'm in a town that 2 or 3 years ago was 1,700 people. Now it's 20,000.
Holy cow.
They had, I believe, there may have been two, but my daughter could only find one polling place. And the line was so long that she couldn't even vote in this last election. So
I bet it wasn't as long in other neighborhoods.
Oh, probably not.
You know, because that's another tactic. Wherever the people are going to vote that they don't want to vote, oh, you get one machine.
Well, I am joining the Move On organization here, I think, but I'm not positive. I'm trying to find something where I'm going to fit. I went to one of those meetings they had. I think it's a number of other people in the chat have gone to these Move On meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And almost everyone there was someone who had run for an office. Well, you know, I don't need to be working at that level. Give me some other people who are just plain people, you know.
Like yeah, some people that want to go out and knock on doors, that kind of thing.
Right. Or, you know, contact people on the Internet, you know, stuff like that. Our call. People are beeping me on the chat room.
Yeah, that's what that noise yes. is. We have to. I have to make sure this is turned off here, or you get the same effect.
I turned off the radio. Yeah, it's Angelica.
Oh, okay. Hey to Angelica.
Yes.
Suzanne, so good to hear from you.
Yes, well, I'm glad I could talk to you, Bob, and make Agnes get well, please.
We're trying. I mean, you know, we'll hit her with another one of those sedative darts if she doesn't rest.
Oh, good.
You know, just you know, and
yeah, that's a good idea. It might work.
Right in the side of the neck.
Okay. Goodbye.
Have a great weekend. Bye now.
You too.
And Luke in Knoxville, Tennessee. Hey, Luke, welcome back. Welcome to the program.
Evening, Bob.
How are you?
Well, I think my week was just made yesterday, just sitting and watching when they had to have Cheney do the individual swearings. just the look on his face when he had to
swear. Oh, he wanted to swear. He wanted to swear.
But the look on his face when he was swearing in Bernie Sanders. You could tell it's sort of like he just...
Oh, I think I'm dead again.
You feel like you should have heard that, beep, 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 beep.
Clear.
Clear.
Oh, he's asystolic again.
Oh, that was worth it.
Oh, wait, we're joking about people dying.
No, not dying.
We're just kidding. I mean, that's what they do, right? No. We're just kidding.
But, like I say, started off the week good. I tell you what, if anybody hadn't seen it, they need to go to Crooks and Liars and look at Overman's special comment.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
That was good. That really was. And then I sent you the articles today, ended out the week. If somebody, everybody needs to go to Truth Out, do some reading. They had three or four good articles. Had the one by Bill Moyers and...
the Bill Moyers article was... Well, everything he does is good.
Yeah. And the William Rivers Pitt and the thing from Ray McGovern and Paul Krugman's column. I mean, there's just a whole handful of stuff there that was good.
Yeah, you know what? It blew me away the other day to find out that Maureen Dowd's been ripping me off. You know, she finally
the best.
Well, yeah, I mean, she finally figured out that Gerald Ford is where we got everything that Bush is up to now.
Well, you know,
only a week and a half after I've been saying it.
But you know what I mean? It's one of those things. On some of that, it's sort of like, you know, if we always say most of this goes to Reagan. Well, it does, but you can actually track it back to Ford, actually back to Nixon. You know what I mean? If you really want to look at where this
sure, because
River started.
Yeah, because Cheney and Rumsfeld were right down there at Daddy Nixon's knees, you know, wearing their little Mouseketeer hats.
And see, that's the one thing, you know, they were talking all last week, talking about, you know, about the pardon. That's the reason I hated the pardon, was the fact that, fine, if you want to pardon Nixon at the end of it, that's fine. We should have went through the trial and had a nice little discussion about all this.
Only, you know,
about who all else was involved.
Well, and that's the thing, though, because if you look back and I think the reason they had to do they felt like they had to do the pardon preemptively, Nixon was facing a 30-count indictment.
Mm-hmm. And the thing was, he wasn't standing there alone.
You know, when you're rolling a die, one side's going to come up yes. So, you know, if 1 through 29 fail, he was going to... the 30th was going to get him.
And like I say, it was one of those things where, at that point, they wouldn't have put the tapes away for 30 years. They would have had to play the tapes right then and there.
Yeah, that was... it was a terrible, terrible mistake. And it was... it was a ripoff of the Constitution, is what it
was.
Well,
that would have been a great example to show people that our system of justice worked all the way to the top.
Well, I think it was designed that way.
Yeah.
The top was supposed to understand that the top is there and is not cemented in place. It is loosely fitted, to say the least.
Oh, you were talking a minute ago about those RDFI chip things?
Yeah.
Did you see the story not too long ago where they said now they're going to start putting them in, I think it's in the passport?
Yeah, they're going into the passports. And
every time you go in and out, somebody's going to, it's going to flag something somewhere.
Yeah, beep. But the I read someone that these things are really insidious. There are studies underway to see if they can be put in medications.
Yeah.
No kidding. I mean, this is not black helicopter stuff, because they think that if they've got an RFID chip inside, and you know they're about the size of a grain of rice.
Yeah. You have to get a magnifying glass to look at them. It's a black speck.
Right, and they can put it in a piece of medication, and it'll sit there and lodge in your intestinal tract, and they can pull all kinds of data about you.
Mm-hmm. And like I say, whenever you walk in a door of a building, and the camera picks you up over there to the side, here'll pop up all your data.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I know when I go in and out of my offices, our front gate, you know, I know I have to have my ID card, you know, and beep it, and I've seen the screen in there when somebody goes through, and you see the page pop up. You know, so you know who's coming in and coming out.
Well, you know,
I mean, that's okay on a security gate, I think, at that point. But
you know, I want lots of those at nuke power plants, for instance.
But you know what I mean? I don't want it inside me, thank you.
Yeah, well, exactly. And the idea that if you want to take a weekend cruise to Bimini from Miami, that you're going to have to show a passport. You know, that's part of all this, too. That starts, I think, what, January 23rd, Luke?
Right at the end of the month, something like that. I remember, it's like, if you go to the Caribbean, Mexico, even Canada, it's time to start showing. Used to go to Canada, the only thing you ever had to do was get, what's the thing I had to get one time? Oh, I had to get one of those insurance cards.
Yeah,
you know,
because
you go across the country and you're in a wreck in another country, and like in Canada, if you ain't got one of those cards, they can hold your car.
Well, right, and the insurance company says we don't pay.
Yeah. A couple other things. Let's have some fun here. I've actually found a reason. No, not that there's not a reason, but I found a better reason than anything else now to vote for Hillary. In fact, the media is pushing Obama. You know, it just kind of worries me, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That everywhere I turn, that's all I'm seeing. And, I mean, I know it's a story, but I'm sorry. That most of this, is, I think, more than anything else, is the media wants a horse race.
Well, it's ginned up.
Yeah. And the thing is, you do notice the fact the Republicans aren't doing anything. They aren't saying word one. In fact, I think, if anything, they're probably pushing it. Because if you listen to some of the pundits,
For them, at this point, it's a win-win situation. Yeah. They thought they had their filth machine all cranked up for Hillary, but now you get this Washington Post story from a couple of days ago. Will Obama's past transgressions become a factor in the 08 race? You know, because
he wrote a book about it.
Yeah.
He talked about it. They were talking about, well, he's only put it, you know, it's hard to find one of these books. There's only 20, you know, all this stuff, and I said, well, that's okay, because I think the company that originally had it or whatever announced they're going to put out like 800,000 more of them.
Yeah, and it'll be in there, and he'll talk about smoking dope, and he talks about snorting a little bit of coke.
Yeah.
But, you know,
I want to see somebody make something out of that, and we just show the picture of George sitting there chomping, chewing at his jaw.
Yeah.
Go, yeah.
Or just George saying, I had some youthful indiscretions.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a, you know, when it's going on when you're 36, it's not a, and 40, it's not a youthful indiscretion anymore.
Oh, I still ought to go back to Congressman Hyde, you know, the one that they got on adultery.
Yeah.
He said, it was a youthful thing, and it turns out he was 40. It's like, I'm sorry, that ain't youthful. 22
yeah.
is youthful.
Yeah, when you're 80, I guess 40 is your misspent youth.
Oh, meant to ask you this. What is all the buzz going on in West Virginia about Mr. Byrd? Because he did not look well.
He isn't well.
I know.
I wouldn't say it's a fact, but it's been a known thing for a long time. Well, no, it's just been a known thing for a long time that when, because he's got Parkinson's,
yeah.
When he has to speak, he goes off his Parkinson's medication, and it really wrecks him.
Well, you know, it's like the thing with Michael J. Fox. You know, it's like he said, you know, he has to potentially go off his medicine to do certain things. You know, and you know, and that's when the tremors and all that. You know, and that is just an insidious disease.
Yeah, it is. It's a horror.
Yeah.
And now you've got was it Sean Hannity, Luke, that's now referring to the government being in the control of the Michael J. Fox wing of the Democratic Party. You know, I'm going to make Agnes blush again. These sorry bastards.
Oh.
The Michael J. Fox wing of Nancy Pelosi's party. You know, this man knows no shame.
Of course not. This is a man who set up outside of a hospice.
Well, there's that.
I mean, that's one of them ones, if I can say, I don't know what they could have done. They've been nice. They got the fire department down there with the hoses when he was doing that. John, hang on that microphone real tight.
Yeah. Don't get me started.
Let's see that haircut stand up. Come on. we're gonna do a Mo Howard on you. but you were talking about
with
bad
the little
words.
Powder smudges and
oh,
stuff.
Oh God, yes. But you know, you were talking about bad words. Now do it the way I always do it. Now you and I both are science fiction fans.
Mm-hmm.
So like say I've got nieces and nephews and all that, so I have to watch around them. So of course I use the word Shazbot Feldercarb.
Well, they're true.
So you know what I mean?
I can frequently be heard, and the kids are learning this. I can frequently be heard doing my Yosemite Sam swearing.
I understand.
Blaz Blaggle Brew Nose Not Pulled Nassel Flacken Stag Bracken Frit.
Well, you know what Mike Malloy does, don't you?
What?
Bat Squeeze.
Yeah, that Bat Squeeze. Right.
if I say you can do it, and you know what it means. You just have to. If I say it's like when you're around kids, you just have to.
Well, see, it's just
to do it differently.
Agnes and I have this philosophical debate going on because I say that we're on the internets and we ought to enjoy the full flower of the English language.
To a point.
And you know, but I also know that she will reach over here and rat slap me. if I really start letting the English language blossom, if you know what I mean.
If I say, it's like with stars and some of them, you know, I mean, if they do it during the middle of a diatribe, I understand it. You know what I mean?
Well, exactly.
Because sometimes your emotion gets ahead of you, and that's okay. But you know, it's like you all say, you know, somewhere down the line, I don't know which way you want to go. If you want to eventually make it back onto some terrestrial, or go for a serious XM type thing or whatever. But you know what I mean? It's going to have to change a little bit here.
Well, it probably does, but my goal really is to continue expanding here on the internet.
What?
Because I think more than terrestrial radio, and certainly more than satellite radio, it's the interactivity aspect of this that makes it ever so much more fun. It's what goes on in the chat room. It's what goes on in the email. It's all the things you can do while you're listening to the program.
And I'm sure some of the things that are typed out in the chat room you couldn't say on that you wouldn't want to say.
Not in a million years. Nah, people are pretty good
they're
in the chat rooms.
They're going, damn, a longshoreman shouldn't read this.
Nah, it's really surprisingly well behaved.
I know, but every once in a while.
Yeah. But well, Luke, thanks so much.
Y'all have a good evening.
You have a great weekend. All right.
Bye.
Take care. Bye now. And I'm going to ditch the final break. I know it's going to break some people's hearts, but. Let's go to Peter. Hey, Peter, welcome to the program.
Bullshit, 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 bullshit. Hey, I got one for you. How about genetically modified bullshit? Thanks for human consumption. Oh, God, I had... And about this chip that you guys were just talking about that it gets in your intestine and it can give out information?
The research is out there, yeah.
Well, do you think that it could tell that I eat Republicans sliced thin with fava beans?
And a nice Chianti.
At least. You know, that would not be something I'd want to get out. You know, what is killing me lately about what I'm seeing on C-SPAN is why in the name of everything holy do these Republicans think that we want to hear a word from them?
Yeah, we got 12 years of their words.
I'd like to remind you of who they are. Republican prosecutor Larry Corrigan, arrested for soliciting sex for a 13-year-old girl. Republican Mayor Jeffrey Randall, molesting two boys, 10 and 12. Republican County Board candidate Brent Shep, molesting a 14-year-old girl. Do you remember the list? We talked about this list. It's this huge list. And we went down the. I mean, these people are just as sick as a day. I don't want to hear anything from these people. If you want to see the list, it's at www.armchairsubversive.com. And it was the one that went down all over the. On and on and on. I don't want to hear a word from them.
No, they can just. Well, you know, I advocate sit down and shut up.
Well, absolutely.
If Agnes wasn't close enough to hit me, it would be shut the something up.
Bob, do you remember a long time ago we talked about the research? They took kindergarten children and monitored them over a period of years until their adulthood.
Yeah, 30 years or so, wasn't it?
Yes, it was a wonderful story. And the ones in the kindergarten that were all, like, so whiny, and teacher Bobby bopped me over the head with a Murph ball and all grew up to be Republicans.
Yes, they did.
Freaking documented it. Have we not seen the
study after study after study, Peter?
Mm-hmm. And we've seen it in our faces now for 2 days straight. It's just amazing to me.
You know, more than anything else, what I saw today in the House Rules debate, where you had. Dreyer. Remember, Dreyer was the guy that went out with Bush's sister and that hateful old beast Barbara Bush couldn't figure out why he wasn't trying to make a move on her?
Goodness, I didn't know he did that. I did catch part of that today. I thought I was going to choke listening to him.
But he was so smarmy, and you could tell he was just dying inside. He reminded me of a beauty pageant, Peter. You know, when they, runner-up number three, runner-up number two, and one of you two will be Miss So-and-so. And it's the look on the face of who gets to be the first runner-up.
Oh, yeah.
That was the look on what's his name, David Dreyer's face?
That was his name, yeah. He went on and on today.
And I wanted to reach through the TV screen and just shut up. Just
yeah.
Sit down and shut up. We're not interested in what you've got to say. What you said, Peter. We've listened to what you've had to say for 12 years, and you didn't say anything then. There's no reason to expect that it's going to start now.
Exactly. And now, we're not being fair with them, and on and on and on. Well, we had three little teenagers here in Florida, and I'm sure they were Republicans. They had to be. Remember the three teenagers that were charged with beating the homeless man to death with a baseball bat while he was sleeping in a park bench?
Oh, yeah, Republican family value, sure.
Of course. Now, these three teenagers were not going to grow up to be, donating to the local, United Way. These were just, one was 19, I think maybe two of them were, and they were charged with beating some other homeless, and they said, quite frankly, we were doing this for kicks.
We were bored. I remember. We were bored.
And they were no doubt Republicans in the making.
Sure they were.
Now, what if these were three black, poor teenagers?
Well, they would have been sent to a juvenile boot camp in Pensacola, Florida, where they would have been killed.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And or gotten the death penalty eventually. Exactly. You could be sentenced as an adult easily, even at 13 years. They tried to do it with one kid. So it just goes to show. There was one thing I wanted to tell you about, and I'm sorry I don't have the article in front of me, so what I'm going to do is email it to you after we hang up because it's too good for me to screw up over the phone, but uh-oh. well, we just pretend I didn't say that.
No, you didn't say the fun word.
It's too good for me to mess it up. And the thing is, did you read about how they took Cheney's office today?
Yeah, the one in Charlie Rangel asked Nancy Pelosi if he could do that right as soon as the election returns were in.
Oh, yeah, you did see the article. I'm so glad because I don't have it in front of me. I was just cheery. I couldn't look at
it. Well, it had been, it was right off the chamber, and it had been the exclusive province of the House Ways and Means Chairman.
Which it was supposed to be and had traditionally been for, 100 years? I don't know.
Yeah, since the building was there.
But, of course, the Republicans gave it to Cheney. When is he going to come in and grace that office? He doesn't go there except to see lobbyists. How many lobbyists have been in that office, do you think?
Oh, my God. Well, I think he goes in there to plug up.
Yeah, that, too, the charging booth. But, they stenciled his name up. They moved his furniture out. I just absolutely love it. It's just some of this stuff I cheer for, and in other parts of it, I just can't believe that she's being so nice. At the beginning, I thought I was going to choke. You and I were both talking about trying to be less polite song. You can't send them an attachment, and I don't know exactly how to get a copy of it to her, but she really needs to listen to that.
Maybe we can get it into the hands of somebody who's going to be at a meeting she attends.
Yeah.
You can't send anything through the mail either.
Yeah.
But they need to hear that song.
Yeah, it would help tremendously. I've got to tell you that some of that make nice stuff. It just went on to the part. But later on, finally, it began to, and it's going to get very combative. They just won't die. They're like the undead. They just hang on.
And they are going. And we are in for two solid years of moaning.
But in all the moaning, all the stuff they say will be taken as gospel. The Limbaugh, the whole.
Well, look at the first day of the new Congress, and who's the mainstream media interviewing? John McCain.
Oh yeah. And I think there ought to be a motion. Like right away, there needs to be a motion to provide every Republican in the House and the Senate with a Ford and a Nixon doll. Not Nixon. What was his name? Reagan.
A little Reagan doll.
Right. So they could clutch and hold on to those things tightly and they could pray to them and they could caress them and all the things that they like to do so that we don't have to hear it day after day. If I hear a Ford commemorated one more time.
Oh, I know. He may. And as far as I know, they've got dirt over him now, so, maybe we're safe.
Well, I hope so. Well, that's really all I have. I just wanted to talk to you mostly about the Cheney thing. I wanted to be sure everybody knew that you heard that was too good to miss.
Yeah, and I love the idea of Rangel doing that, early. you know, the minute the returns are in, Nancy, can I have the personal privilege of throwing Dick Cheney the hell out?
Why, sure, darling. Go right ahead. Cast that carpet bag out.
Don't forget to throw out the native soil when you get rid of the coffin.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's perfect. Yeah, be sure to bury that somewhere in the Grand Canyon, which, of course, Nancy Reagan had dug for beautification.
Oh, I thought the Grand Canyon was formed when Adam's dinosaur stubbed his toe on the way to church one day.
At least. Well, I'm glad you guys are back. I really am, both of you guys.
Yeah, like I said, we're going to try to do 5 days of radio next week.
That'll be great.
It's a sad thing that it's a challenge, but it is.
Well, I'll let you,
but we soldier on. Peter, thank you so much.
Esther, good night.
Bye now. No, I'm not. I'm not giving Agnes any grief or anything. It's just things get a little dicey sometimes. They really do. Let's go back to Sarge for a second. Hey, Sarge, welcome back.
Yeah. Hey. Bullshit.
Okay. Good for you.
Okay. Nah, I'm out.
Anybody else want to do this?
Hey, this is fun. I wanted to say. Everybody, if they can, try and give a listen to the show tomorrow and catch Leroy Johnson. I'm excited about that.
I am too. Tell us again about it.
Yeah, well, he's the man.
No. About what time?
Oh, it'll be. I'm gonna give you Central Time. It starts at 3 p.m.
Okay.
In the afternoon, and he is.
The show, please.
It's the. Okay, it's a three-hour show, but it's called Truth to Power Hour.
Okay.
And the host is regularly Jeff Ferris' show, but he's on vacation for a couple of days, so someone's filling in for him. But they did say that Jim is going to be on, and Jim told me he was going to have...
So NovaMradio.com.
Right. TruthToPowerHour.com is the site for the Truth to Power. You can go through the NovaM.com, NovaMradio.com site. Or you can, better yet, just go to unreportednews.net and click on it.
Okay.
Got them both listed. I got Head On and NovaM listed on the front page because we totally support both.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
And, listen, again, if anybody wants to get a special deal going for their area, contact us. We don't mind. We can't get too many people getting involved. If there's 20 trucks coming down here, hey, that's great because it does two things. It gets the materials to the people who need it, and secondly, maybe it'll shame some of these people around here to wake up and realize they got a problem in their own backyard.
Good idea.
Because I
am
so upset about our attitudes. And, we, you know, when you think about those two precious children burning in that fire, and it's all because these morons could not take care of what every administration before them has done. Now, that is something that you know, when you think of that, and then you think of the statement Beck made and all of that, well, obscene.
Yeah, and that really is the thrust of the inquiry as to whether or not these words are obscene or ignoring people in profound misery and profound need is the greater obscenity.
Yeah, when you told me that, the thing that popped in my head, I got to looking at thinking of those pictures of those two children. And I could just see them burning alive. I could hear them yelling, "Mama, Mama, say, Mama, help!"
Yeah, I know.
And Mama can't help. The passerby can't help. Nobody can help. They're just burning. And it's all because of that rat in the White House. It's all because of that rat in the governor's mansion. And then some.
We have a rat, Sarge. We have a rat problem.
We got a bad one. In fact, this rat that crawls around the house here just spoke up and said, "Hey, wait a minute, don't compare me to this."
Yeah, take it easy on the rats.
So, you know, but I mean, it's sad, and we've really got to get serious, and we've got to make these phone calls. And mention Katrina, too. Don't just mention Iraq. Mention Katrina, because let's face it, both situations are
immoral, they're both illegal, and they're both treason.
Well, the thing, and that exactly, and it is all a call to action, Sarge.
We gotta look, man. I've hurt myself, you know, serving this nation, and if I ever hear anyone say to me again, "We appreciate your service," the first thing I'm going to ask them is, "What have you done?" Because if you hadn't at least had the guts to pick up the telephone and call an office, then don't you tell me you appreciate my service, because you don't.
Well, and
if you are too scared to pick up and talk to a staffer, then you don't appreciate my service at all.
Very well said, Sarge. Very well said.
Okay, and thanks again, Bob, and tell Agnes I sure am sorry.
Well, she's sitting here, and she says it's all right.
All right. Oh, shit. Okay.
Later, Sarge. Oh, God, you give him an inch. It's all going to be okay, Agnes. It's about 17 minutes before the hour. Just a couple of things to wrap the evening up. I mentioned at the top of the program, of course, that Dear Leader has nominated himself a brand new Director of National Intelligence. The guy's name, I stumbled on it earlier. The guy's name is Mike McConnell. He comes from the National Security Agency. And the question is the NSA becoming something on the order of Bush's little personal fiefdom domestic espionage? Because you understand, Mike McConnell would not have received this nomination if he was not completely on board with every sleazy thing that George Bush either is doing or wants to do to the privacy of the citizenry of this once great nation. Bush said, each of them will do good work in their new positions, and it is vital that they take up their new responsibilities promptly. Well, you know what? I'm not so sure that we need a new Director of National Intelligence. Are you? I'm not so sure that Mike McConnell needs to have his name even so much as get out of committee. Now, we've talked a lot on this program tonight about the fact that we are tired of seeing Democrats play nicey. George Bush has done inestimable damage to this country over the course of the last 6 years. Does he really deserve the right to nominate anyone to any position for the next two? The CIA will not close its doors. The NSA will not shut down, unfortunately, if Mike McConnell does not make it to the position of Director of National Intelligence. And moreover, while you're emailing and calling on other issues, find out which senatorial committee will have charge. And it's got to be the Senate Intelligence Committee, doesn't it? Find out which Senate committee has charge of hearings regarding the appointment of John... not intelligence. Foreign relations, maybe? The nomination of John Negroponte to be Assistant Secretary of State. Every single Democratic member of that committee must be informed, and must be informed in the thousands, of our demand that John Negroponte not make it out of committee. It is time to read the long and bloody and heartrending litany of John Negroponte's crimes against humanity. and to share them with the public, with a public that, once the knowledge itself becomes more public, will be horrified. We do not need John Negroponte. You know, John Negroponte went to Iraq, and the next thing you get, everywhere John Negroponte goes, bodies pile up in the streets. Whether it's dead priests and nuns in El Salvador, a wholesale war against native peoples in Guatemala, or his recent trip to Iraq, immediately after which the death squads started roaming the streets. Call it coincidence. That's fine. Say that there's no hard proof that he has anything to do with it. That's okay, too. But even if it is coincidence, are we not courting disaster by putting him in a position like Assistant Secretary of State, directly answerable to kind of sleazy Rice? Even if it's only coincidence, do we need to court the coincidence of more death following John Negroponte? I mean, we'll give him a nice pension, for the love of God. Isn't it time for John Negroponte to just retire? Take it easy, John. Enjoy the rest of your days. Go away. And take the guy with the scythe with you. Let's go to the phones. Andy's calling, our good friend calling from Wales. Hey, Andy, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how's it going?
That's okay. How about you?
Well, I've got to admit, I've only literally just switched on at the moment, so I've been a bit lax tonight.
Well, at least you've got a connection again.
I have, and it's back to the one I had originally. It worked, so damn them. No, just listening to you talking about the Director of National Intelligence, I thought, ooh, who's that? So I had a Google, and I found John Negroponte's speech to the Kennedy School as a PDF.
Oh, I can only imagine what a horror that must be.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've read a bit of it while I've been listening to you, but not a huge amount. But yeah, I've been looking through the questions and answers and stuff. But I've got a couple of questions to ask you, just to see how well we understand them. How many intelligence agencies do you have in America?
11?
More?
No kidding.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the CIA, the DIA, the FBI, yeah. The NSA...
Do you want me to read through the ones I've got listed here?
Yeah, please.
Okay. CIA, DIA, Defense Intelligence, NSD of the FBI, National Security Branch of the FBI, National Security Agency, National Reconnaissance Office, the National Geospatial Agency, Intelligence Bureaus in the Department of Energy, Homeland Security, Department of State, Treasury, and the Drug Enforcement Administration, and then there's all the military intelligence guys.
Lord God, that's a lot of intelligence.
I know, we make do with MI5 and MI6. I mean,
yeah, and they, you know, and they do plenty.
Yeah, they've done plenty. Do you need another killer reappointed to another position? No.
No.
Is he going to be reappointed? Yeah.
No, I mean, he's been appointed, but I don't know. Is activism worth the effort?
Well,
to try to stop it,
worth the effort, but don't expect him to be sacked. Do you know what I mean? Basically, all you can do with people like this is get your emails into your senators and your congresspersons, and put on the emails, this is the number of people Negroponte's been responsible for the death for. I mean, there's, you know, a couple of million in Central America alone.
Yeah, and, well, you know, the man, again, maybe it's just a coincidence, Andy, but everywhere that man goes, bodies wind up in streets.
Well, yeah, that's why they call him Death Squad John.
And it is a verifiable fact that the death squads and the kidnapped victims and the people who were found, you know, with their hands tied behind their backs, shot through the head, went through the roof after John Negroponte went to Iraq.
Yeah, and, you know... they went through the roof when he went anywhere, you know. I mean, look at his record. Just look at where he's been. If you get the service record from the United States, like postings from the Foreign Office or whatever you call them, Department of State or whatever it is, you'll see that wherever he's been, within months, normally weeks, but within months at the most, there's been a whole bunch of killing. Literally every time he's been there, it's like coincidence. I don't think so. You know what? I don't believe in coincidence.
Yeah, coincidence requires something approaching faith.
Yeah, yeah. So I believe in conspiracy.
Well,
plots and plans and.
And you know, you can always ask the question: did anyone benefit by all those deaths?
Yes.
And if the answer is yes, then you ask who, and you start trailing it back, and it leads inexorably to people like John Negroponte.
Yeah, it leads to the U.S. administration and the corporations that run your government. And I was hoping not to talk about class war again this week, because I always...
Kind of hard to... Oh, you know, you're going to make me do my Monty Python bit.
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, we're constantly told it's nothing to do with class, and that's why, I don't know.
Well, in many ways it depends on how you define the class, Andy.
Well, I define class as in there's two classes, and there's the ruling and the ruled. And in the ruled, there's two subdivisions, and they're the enablers and the people who fight against it.
Well, you know, and then there's the killer. You know, I mean, you can classify as, you know, it's all taxonomy. You can classify as killers and not killers.
Well, yeah.
And it seems to, and that seems to work pretty nicely within the framework that you've set up.
Well, yeah. Yeah,
because these people are killers.
Yeah, we've got to face the fact that we live in a world that's ruled by a bunch of people that would kill you, me, and everybody else. And
they would do it for a 2% net increase in the value of their stock portfolio.
Well, they'd do it just to prevent any kind of loss in their stock portfolio, Bob. You know, it's not necessarily about increasing. They'd do a lot more than just kill me for increasing their stock portfolio. They'd kill the entire world, I guess. You know, I mean, ultimately, if there's like a buck to be made out of pulling the switch that kills the universe, some human will be found next to it with their hand on it, going, how much can I make again? Snap. Bing, it all goes out.
But he died rich.
Hmm.
Disturbing, isn't it?
What is it about humans and their insane greed? What can you do?
I don't know. You know, every now and then somebody comes along that tries to address that issue and they wind up dead.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, that's, you know... That's Martin Luther King. That's Gandhi.
Jesus.
There were in fact a few so-called Muslim heretics.
Yeah.
That got the scimitar shave.
Yeah, or the burning on the great big pile of.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
And it happens the world over. And the funny thing is, after they're dead and we are busily ignoring the real thrust of their message, we build a religion around them that has nothing to do with what they actually taught.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you know, if you listen to Johnny Cash, you'll hear that his arguments of Jesus are listening to the words that Jesus said, not to what was created and written about him. And it's the same with all of them. I mean, you know...
It's so interesting you would mention Johnny Cash. I am in the middle of reading his 1975 autobiography right now.
Right, right. I've been really getting into his music recently.
Well, there's a lot there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, The Man in Black suits me because I pretty much wear black the whole time for mainly the same reason.
Well, Andy, I tell you what, we're out of time, but I'm so glad we heard from you this Friday.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry to ring so late.
No, that's okay. It's not Friday if we don't hear from you.
That's true, yeah. It makes my week, so it's
you take care.
To everybody in America, you haven't won yet. Hold the bastard's feet to the fire.
And pump the bellows on the other side of it.
Yeah, and throw in some petrol. And get things cooking.
If you're gonna global warm, do it that way.
Yeah.
Thanks, Andy.
Take care. Love to Agnes.
All right. Bye now.
Bye, mate.
And the last word goes to our friend David calling from Maine. Hey, David, welcome to the program.
Wow, I'm going to have to be fast.
Auctioneer style.
Fashion style, fast style. Well, did you hear the news on this Navy admiral who goes to CENTCOM?
No. I know who he is.
Right. Well, Raw Story reports that Lieutenant General David Petros, the former day-to-day commander in Iraq to replace George Casey as the overall commander of U.S. forces, in that country, The news that has everybody a bit agog is that the head of Central Command, General John Abizaid, will be relieved by Admiral Jay Fallon. ABC reports that Fallon, who is in the Navy, is currently head of Pacific Command. He will be overseeing two ground wars, so the appointment is highly unusual. And I guess it's on Daily Coast and everything. And
well, I guess, again, I wondered early on, what's an admiral doing running a ground war?
Right.
I mean, that tells me something, David. That tells me that they couldn't, that the Bush administration could not find any generals of suitable rank who were willing to agree with his dream to make this war worse than it already is.
And before I go, just to keep things in perspective about population, I heard a startling fact. I just heard a startling fact today. Do you know how long it takes to go ride on the highway to Tijuana?
No.
20 miles takes 8 hours.
Holy cats, why?
I think we know why. The population?
Yeah.
People on the road? The fact that we put so much into an infrastructure for automobiles. There's a wake-up call for everybody right there on the future of the automobile and the highways.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's a whole bunch of sober up just looking at the gridlock of any major American city.
One more thing before I go, Bob.
All right.
I want everybody to know that there should be a story about what we're facing on the East Coast, because we already got grass growing here, people. No snowmobiles out here. Grass is already growing.
And you're in Maine.
And I'm in Maine. That's never happened before, and New York hasn't had. And New York has broken their record since 1877 of not getting snow. So keep that in perspective, people. It's not a conspiracy. It's really happening.
And it is scary as hell, isn't it?
Yeah, just a bit.
David, thank you. Have a great weekend.
All right, later, Bob.
Bye now. Sorry, gang. We're at the end of the night. Thanks to everybody. Have a wonderful weekend. Thank you, Agnes. Thank you, Brian Reznor. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch. Thank you, Peter Godbold. Thank you, Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters, for building the American dream and helping us save it. And always, 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 RMR, it's all for you.
Identified. The House also passed lobbying reform legislation that prohibits lawmakers from accepting meals and gifts from lobbyists or flying on corporate jets. Some job changes in the Bush administration today. The president named retired Vice Admiral Mike McConnell to take John Negroponte's place as the National Intelligence Director. Negroponte will go to the State Department to be Condoleezza Rice's deputy. A Republican congresswoman said that half of the high-value al-Qaeda targets caught in Iraq have been released. She accused the U.S. military of running a, quote, catch-and-release program. In Baghdad, a prominent Sunni Arab group, the Association of Muslim Scholars, accused officials in the Shiite-led government of having links to Shiite militias, which are involved with sectarian violence. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is expected to travel to the Middle East later this month to revolve the stalled peace process. President Bush will ask Congress for $83 million to support the president of the Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas. The money would be used for the security forces loyal to him to bolster him in the Israeli-Palestinian peace process. Somali and Ethiopian troops plan to launch a major assault on the last Islamic militia stronghold in Somalia. U.S. naval ships are patrolling the coast to prevent the Muslim militiamen from fleeing.